If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
VIP!
Ready to get this party going on?
Have I had sex with anyone in this room tonight?
No!
You sure about this?
Yeah!
Fine, good. Resume party.
Anybody mind if I take off my pants?
Son, you got a panty on your head.
If you could give me a pearl necklace tonight, I really need one.
Let's get this party started.
A penis, when seen in the right context, is the most wonderful sight for a woman. But in the wrong context, it is like a monster movie.
I know what you're asking yourself. The answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon.
And now, holla, our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is apparently, according to the giant clock on the wall, 13 minutes after 8.
Wow, this morning is flying by.
Which I think is great. I'm always fascinated by the huge, hey, everybody, look here, because this is the time clocks when they're off. That always cracks me up.
What I love about you, though, is that there's no way you're not going to refer to that clock every single time you open the microphone.
Well, I do. That's my habit, is I just glance up there immediately, and it won't occur to me most of the day, you're right, that it's not 8:13 right this minute.
So. 10 minutes from now, you will be shocked to find out, after you say it's 8:14 on the radio, that it's actually not.
And it's not, you know, it's not like it's just a few hours earlier, because it's actually 5:32. It's not even, but this is 8:14.
Yeah, it doesn't make any
sense. So we'll call the engineering department, and they'll say it can't be changed. They just have to wait for the signal to come from the bat signal or wherever.
See, this is what confuses me about that clock, is isn't the deal that it's hooked up to the atomic-powered time clock in Colorado or something?
That's sure what they tell us.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's
curious. And the last time this happened, we told the engineer, and Scott Mason, and he said, oh, can't. There's no way to fix it. There's no way that you can physically, and then lightning went in and said, why don't you just do it this way? And then he fixed it. So that's the way this place works.
By the way, I think Kevin, tell me if I'm wrong, Mike, is eventually going to turn into the Unabomber, because he's rebelling against technology. He's at the point now where he's had enough with the clocks. He's had enough with the email. He's had enough with computers in general.
Oh,
he's had enough
night.
With TiVos. He's over technology. I think it's rebelling against him somehow.
Yeah, I saw him looking at real estate in West Virginia up in the mountains. He's just keeps moving away.
Cabin.
Yeah.
Yep. A shack with no electricity, no lights.
Type in my manifesto. It's coming.
What's going on? Do you have some sort of electric force field around you that's just zapping everything you walk past? Or what's
the TiVos
deal?
Are working fine. Computers are my nemesis right now. And part of the problem is one of the programs that I edit audio on is a Windows program.
Okay.
And I haven't figured out how to do that on the Mac yet, which I know you can do, you know, with Parallels or some of those other programs.
Right, right.
So I used the old computer, and I was up till 1:30 this morning trying to edit the David Blaine stuff together.
Okay.
And then my computer died, and I – well, first, I mean, the first problem was that the keyboard typed whatever it wanted. So if I typed in David – save David Blaine, it would say save 29CL4 colon. It just you know, types whatever it wants. So then I just have to kind of make a note of what that is so I can find it later. But
oh, my God.
Yeah, it's driving me crazy. But at least I'm not playing poker tonight, so I'll be in great shape tomorrow.
Sure.
Don't worry about
that.
Hey,
I didn't watch David Blaine
because
he sucks and he's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I never feel good about myself after I invest time in his specials, so I don't even know what happened. I haven't even read about it.
I can't wait to tell you.
Did he die?
I will not give that away right now. It was the dive of death.
Okay.
And as you can imagine, in a two-hour special, they did mention that it is the dive of death as they talk to his doctors. And, you know, you've seen this special 100 times.
Uh-huh.
So I don't want to give it away, but it was the dive of death.
Okay. Well, you said you were going to sue or something if nobody died.
Well, don't you think if it's called dive of death,
then somebody should die.
There should be some death. Otherwise, that's false advertising.
Right.
Somebody needs to die. Maybe a you know, stagehand on the, you know, on the, you know, on the bottom waiting for him. Yeah.
Well, and, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's it's so good. And David Blaine, by the way, is another one of these guys like Chris Angel. Chris Angel does amazing illusions, I think.
Mm-hmm.
His actual illusions are really something. But then he fills with 59 minutes of stupid, just filler and ridiculous, talking to his family about how they don't want him to die. It's the rest of it that drives me crazy. And David right. Blaine's another guy who, he was here before Criss Angel, and he does amazing on-the-street stuff right in front of people. And
I haven't seen him in a long time. He used to do card tricks. Does he still do that?
He does card tricks. He does, you know, quarters. He does all kinds of amazing. And you watch it and you go, that's unbelievable. And I would watch a weekly show of that.
Uh-huh.
But not this stunt stuff. But they did sprinkle in a bunch of that kind of magic throughout the show.
Well, they had 2 hours to fill.
Yeah. So it
for something that probably took 30 seconds.
Yeah, if that.
It usually does.
You're not going to believe it. That's
really?
All I'm saying. You're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe
it. Okay. Can't wait.
Dive of death. Well, let's talk some more about this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. This morning, of course, is Thursday, and it's the 30th of Sextember.
Yeah!
Anna?
Giggity, giggity.
Yes.
What?
Is it the 30th, by the way?
Isn't it not?
No, I think it's the 25th.
Yeah.
Really?
Sure.
Yeah.
How'd I jump right to the 30th?
I don't know. It's 8:30 in the morning, though.
How about that?
On the 30th, apparently.
25th. Okay. Well, that happens a lot with me. This morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are going to have some live music. We have Atmosphere in the studio.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. Love the live music. We have Erica Durance.
That's what I'm talking about.
In the studio, who, of course, is playing Lois Lane in Smallville.
I hadn't been watching Smallville. I always loved that show, but it was on at a terrible time because it was on opposite Lost and a bunch of other shows that I liked, and I somehow fell off the Smallville bandwagon, even though it was always a great show.
Always good, yeah.
So knowing that Erica was coming in, I watched the season premiere from last week. I don't know if you got a chance to see it or not. Still a great show. I blame myself for having not enjoyed it over the last 2 years. Still a great show.
Yeah, you're bad. Ralph has been telling you the whole time that it's fantastic.
Yeah, but he's Ralph. You know how he is.
Of course.
He's dodgy.
But in this particular case, he was right.
Ooh, it came from a comic book. It must be good. You know, Ralph. Come on.
Also, we got to talk more about that the preacher in New York who hates Barack Obama and is just absurd. He's the greatest.
I think he makes some really good points, by the way.
I love preachers that – you do? I love preachers, first of all, and I love preachers that are out of their mind, second of all. And this guy apparently does both, and I'm very happy about that.
Well, you can go ahead and sit over there and hate God if that's what you want, man, but I think he knows what he's talking about.
I said love, love. Jeff Ross in the studio, yeah. Comedian, first guy to get kicked off Dancing with the Stars, eye patch, mm-hmm. Got an eye injury.
Yep.
What else do you need to know about him? He got injured dancing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to tell you about that, and we'll ask him about it. And Osama bin Laden, he's putting out some poetry, and I think that's nice. And all week
long. Maybe there's a sensitive side to Osama that we just we didn't even think about because the other side is so bad that you just don't want to you just want to say he's all bad and maybe there's something good about him. Maybe there's some beauty in
there
somewhere.
That's true. It's a much more complex world than we like to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we're going to talk to our new boss. We have a new boss, and this may be the last day of the Kevin and Bean Show. Depending on how this goes.
If he has his way, it will be.
And Sam Rockwell is an actor who we love, who's in pretty much everything he's in is good. And he's in a new movie that comes out tomorrow called Choke. And if you missed that, we got some highlights for you coming up just after 6 o'clock. We talked to him in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday. And all week long, K-Rock's putting you on the party plane to Vegas to see the Killers. Your chance to win is coming up again this morning at 7 o'clock. So stick around, and we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 547. Bean and I were in New York City for the MTV Video Music Awards, and White Zombie was going to play that song on the show. And so they were rehearsing, and we were sitting there, and they played the song, and then they played it again. And then what they did was play it again.
Oh, no.
Then they played it again.
No!
And then what they did was go over it again.
So you want to hear more of it? Is that what you're saying? You'd like to hear it more and more?
I'm still not tired of it somehow, but that day, I think we heard it about 10 times in a row, which is a strange experience to have.
That's the not fun part of being a rock star. I don't think people realize sometimes. Remember Chris Martin was here from Coldplay not long ago, and they were talking about filming that awesome iPod commercial, and he said they had to play the same 30 seconds of their song. I think he told us for 8-9 hours.
Yep.
for all the different angles and cameras and things that they needed to do. It could be a little bit tedious. It's not digging ditches, but still,
it's
not
being a rock star, man.
Fun. It's glamour.
I'm just saying.
That's the glamour of showbiz right there.
It's hard, hard work. Backbreaking hard work.
Does sound difficult.
By the way, our job also super difficult to sit there and listen to a song over and over.
So hard. You guys, you know what I mean? I don't know how you guys can make it, how you get through it.
We should do some kind of a salute to us.
They pay you peanuts and you work so hard.
Do you know that some days we're not out of here till 10:30? Did you know that, Ralph?
Oh. You guys should be given some sort of Legion of Honor medal.
Not very often. I mean, most of the time it's 10:10, but 10:30 right. Every once in a while, we're like, whoa.
You're like war vets. Really, you are American heroes.
And neither Thank of us you. Can raise our arms above our head.
I know. It's weird. Odd. Can't raise the roof.
It's 5:48 on my clock. What time do you have, Kevin?
I think they fixed it. It's 5:49. Yes.
Oh, you're kidding. How about that?
All right. This is better.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Thursday morning. What's going on?
Well, maybe third time's a charm for Pat O'Brien.
Oh, really? Oh, no, he's back in rehab?
As Pat checks into rehab once again, just a week after he was let go from the Insider.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they fired him.
Didn't realize that.
This is after he sent inappropriate emails to his colleagues saying that Lara Spencer makes him want to vomit.
I didn't hear that.
Oh, you missed all the fun last week, Kevin.
Awesome.
What did you want the man to do?
So, apparently Pat's going back inside to rehab, maybe to clean up, and then he can join the cast of, I don't know, Access Hollywood. Oh, he's been there already. Entertainment? No, they won't have him. Same producers. TMZ? I don't know. He'll find a job someplace. Yeah.
He's not a bad broadcaster.
No, he's not.
I mean, he can still work on television if he can
get I'd like to see Pat go back to journalism.
Me too. He was great with sports.
He was a great sports guy. Yeah. I'd like to see him go back to actually covering news instead of going...
That Australian anorexic twins only eat fingernails. We've got the video.
Yeah, it's not exactly quality stuff. Lindsay Lohan.
Who?
Lindsay Lohan.
Is firing back at her father, Michael. I told you yesterday that Michael said that Lindsay's girlfriend, Samantha Ronson, was a waste of space. Was... a debauched excuse for humanity. He went through a giant list of horrible things he said about her.
Well, is it just because she's gay? Is that his thing?
No, I think it's because she's
hideous. He just like her personally. Oh, okay, just ugly.
She's fugly, that's why.
Right. She's scary ugly.
Lindsay has responded to the New York Post saying that dear old dad was simply out of line and needs to be stopped. Oh, wow. She's going to put a hit out on him.
No kidding.
She says this is just one of the reasons the two are not on speaking terms. Lindsay says she's at a great place in her life. She's learned to appreciate and enjoy her life. And defends her relationship with Sam, saying the two love and care for each other very much. So Lindsay doing very, very well. Uh-huh. Or you can believe this story. In Touch magazine has photos of Lindsay Lohan with what appears to be cuts on the inside of her left arm, leading an expert who saw them to claim that it's very possible she could be a cutter or a self-injurer.
She's a cutter.
So either she's in a great place in her life and she's very much in love, or she's hacking herself to pieces.
Wow.
You make the call. Alcoa presents. Three people are laughing about that one. David Blaine hung upside down.
Yes, he did.
New York Daily News says some people are questioning now whether it was a legitimate feat of endurance.
You think?
Because he would take regular bathroom and food breaks.
Which... they didn't mention once in 2 hours.
What a surprise.
How about that?
So people think maybe David's not all that in a bag of chips.
But the dive of death. You didn't see it, did you, Ralph?
No, I did not see it, sir. No,
I got highlights coming up. You're not going to believe it.
I was preoccupied last night. You know what I did finally catch up on? You know, the fall season is just hell if you're a TV junkie.
Too much.
Because you end up just TiVoing a bunch of stuff and you lose track and you haven't caught up. But I finally caught up with The Mentalist.
I taped that too. I wanted to see it.
How good is that show?
That's such good news.
Simon Baker's terrific in it, and I really, really liked it. I'm looking forward to it.
Is that the show that's almost the exact same show as Psych?
Well, Psych is a comedy, and Mentalist is a drama, is it?
Okay.
So,
but he uses what? He has visions?
This guy used to be like a John Edward type, I talk to people on the other side, charlatan.
Right.
And through a series of consequences that you see in the pilot episode, he decides to use his powers to help solve crimes.
But
so what he does is he's super observant and he's able to extrapolate from the things that he notices about people into their methods and thoughts and that kind of stuff.
So it's not that he can read minds.
He's not a real psychic. He just reads people, basically. He just pays attention. But really entertaining show. Really
fantastic.
Yeah, so I think you'll like it.
I like Fringe. I love that show. I love the new show on HBO called True Blood.
A lot of good stuff this fall.
Good shows.
TV's getting it right. Looks like Drew Barrymore's got a new boy.
Dwan?
Yes. She is dating Dwan.
Be the best.
Okay, Drew Barrymore.
She showed up. He would go, yep.
Yeah, that's you. I like your movies. Goodbye. And he just closed the door on her. She was nude. Yeah, you were in How to Solve a Girl in 30 Days. Click, and the door would just
shut. I didn't see it.
Yeah. Apparently, she is making out with Ed Westwick of Gossip Girl.
Gossip Girl.
That's tight.
He plays Chuck Ross on the show. I asked Dave, I said, who's Ed Westwick? He's like, he plays Chuck. So,
Chuck Bass.
Chuck Bass.
He's now telling me.
Well, there you go. Chuck Bass. I used to watch him on the Outdoor Life Network.
Did
I
you?
Think. Yeah, Chuck Bass used to.
He was good.
Have a fishing show. Anyway, they were spotted making out on two separate occasions in New York City over the past 5 days. Apparently, the two really hit it off at a Saturday Night Live after party and stayed out till 6 a.m. with some public displays of affection. Hmm. So, looks like Drew's back on the boy train, if there is such a thing.
Is there a boy train?
You know, it's causing trouble over Dancing with the Stars? No, not old one-eye Jeffrey Ross. He's gone. It's Warren Sapp.
What do you mean, causing trouble? What's he doing?
According to TMZ, he is...
hogging the buffet?
Well, that too. He's yelling at everyone, prone to temper tantrums, making wild demands, and has walked out several times on rehearsals with his partner, Kim Johnson. I never liked
him. I don't like him on the fact that he's black.
Oh! No, it has nothing to do with it.
Wow.
He's just
absurd.
Being a diva. I never liked Warren Sapp. I always thought he was just a big mouth, just call me the QB killer. That was his website, QBKiller.com.
Shut up.
Ass.
It does seem like, though, coming out of a team sport for so long, that he should be used to taking direction and working well with others and all the team mentality, but I guess he's left that all behind.
Tell me your life wouldn't be better without the blacks.
Come
on.
People on the set seem to think he's talking down everyone. He thinks he's better than everyone else. Maybe because he came out of pro football, he thinks this whole exercise is beneath him.
Yeah, I imagine he looks at it as just like a gay little thing.
Yeah.
So he looks around at like an Oscar winner next to him and goes, you've accomplished nothing, right? I'm the star.
You ain't done nothing, woman. I'm QB killer.
I think it's because his last experience was with the Raiders, so he's just probably accustomed to being a dick.
That's true. Yes.
He was good, though, Ruff. Got to admit that.
He was a good player.
He was a good player.
But I never liked him. That's what I was saying. Right. I admire his talent on the field, but I never liked him.
Would you have liked him if he was an Eagle?
No, I don't think I would have. No. Versus like a Michael Strahan?
Yeah.
Who I hated because he was a Giant for so long, but I always liked the dude. I always seemed like he's a pretty good guy.
Right.
Gap tooth, mother F.
He's just the enemy.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to rape America?
Oh, come on.
What is wrong? Where the hell did that come from?
God damn you.
Your madness.
Here's a little news flash. It's not funny. In fact, it's pretty freaking unfunny.
Wilmer Valderrama has a new girlfriend.
Pez?
What a surprise.
Pez, the popular candy dispenser from That 70s Show.
It's Pez.
According to In Touch magazine. By the way, this guy is just got more ass in the toilet seat, this dude.
He's a ladies' man. He may not look like it, but my God, he lines him up.
He's already been through Lindsay Lohan and Mandy Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Now he is dating Miss USA 2007 Rachel Smith.
Oh!
I don't know if you've seen Miss USA 2007 Rachel Smith.
I have not, but I can guess she's pretty hot.
You should Google her up and see what happens because she's way freaking hot.
I bet Pez had 2004, 2005 before this.
He's collecting them all. It's like a series of tumblers you get at a gas station with a fill up. He wants to make sure he gets the whole set. And I. Can't believe I used a Tumblr gas station reference.
Nope, but it seemed to work strangely.
I can't remember a gas station giveaway glasses in some time. Yeah, there she is. Not too
shabby.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, not too shabby.
Oh!
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's her.
Wow.
That is her. That just happened.
Wow.
And she's with Pez.
Yep.
Pez does good work.
He sure does.
Yeah, dude.
Hollywood Reporter tells us that Comedy Central is working on a project with Kanye West.
Awesome.
Comedy Central and Kanye West. Not two elements I thought would ever join forces. However, Kanye describes it as the Muppets with rap.
Awesome.
Okay.
Rap puppets.
So is it a puppet show that has
apparently,
rapping?
Apparently, yes.
Awesome.
Lead puppet apparently name is Snoop Frog. No, I kid. The hard part's getting the puppets to hold the guns. Whoa, I kid. No, seriously. And Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen are fighting.
Oh, no.
Yeah, can you imagine?
You seem rather wimpy.
That going on. They don't eat enough. They don't have enough caloric intake to fight. In Touch magazine says Ashley wants to be a serious businesswoman, but Mary-Kate just wants to party and isn't taking her duties regarding their empire very seriously.
They've already made $1 billion or something like that.
It's not enough.
How much attention do they need to pay to their empire?
Go through a billion like that, Kevin.
I don't think so.
Just ask AIG. And speaking of fighting...
Economic humor is the direction we're going.
Economic humor. Speaking of fighting, George Clooney and Brad Pitt apparently fighting.
I thought they were best friends.
They were BFFs no longer. This story comes out of the British version of OK Magazine saying they are fighting over not a lady, but a role.
Oh, they both want the same thing?
Both of them want to play Henry Higgins in the upcoming film remake of the musical My Fair Lady.
Okay.
Flimsy.
The magazine says the competition has become so intense and has escalated so far, the two are both so angry they won't even talk to each other.
Oh, that's not true.
Oh, it's absolutely true.
Is it?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, the British tabloids are the only things less reliable than the American tabloids.
Yeah.
So you can take that with a grain of salt. But, you know, I just hate to think of them having everything. So I'd like to think there's a little misery going on in their lives.
They have to have some problem.
To be human like the rest of us. Today's celebrity birthdays, newswoman Barbara Walters. She is 79 years old today. I'm surprised Bean didn't give her a bell. You're learning,
no
Bean.
Bell.
You're healing.
She's never been hot to me. She's not even one of those like Diane Sawyer who used to be hot when she was young. She's just never really been that attractive, I don't think.
Well, we're glad to hear that. Usually you're on a different page than us when it comes to that.
Heather Locklear turns 47 years old today. Heather Locklear's 47 freaking years old.
Yeah, she's a good-looking 47.
Spectacular. Yeah. You'd never guess that if you looked at
no.
her. Magical.
Yum, 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 yum.
Mark Hamill. Luke Skywalker, 57 years old today.
Corvette Summer.
I'm sorry, Corvette Summer. Yeah.
Yes.
Will Smith is 40 years old today. And Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones share a birthday. She's 39. He's 64!
Yay!
Talk about your luck.
Good for him.
64-year-old Michael Douglas, Catherine Zeta-Jones being all 39.
She's hot too, by the way.
Way hot. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Pumpkins, by the way, heading out on a 20th anniversary tour later this fall. Kicking it off November 1st in Cleveland, wrapping it up in Los Angeles with two shows December 2nd and 3rd. And I just like to say, you can't take 10 years off in the middle and have a 20-year anniversary. I just like to say that's bogus.
That's true.
Okay?
That is crap.
If you're a Pumpkins fan, though, that's good news that they are coming back to town. 621, Psycho Mike has joined us in studio on the wrong side of the microphone. He gets his own, which always makes me very, very nervous.
Yeah. Sorry.
As opposed to just horning in on Kevin's. But you had a topic for us today. It's been a while since we looked at the psycho body, Mike, and apparently you've been thinking of some stuff.
Yeah, I think this got kicked off by Miss Cleo talking about her fasting during Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we started thinking about all the different diets out there that are either complete fasts or recommend you restrict your diet to one item, you know,
right.
One ridiculous item. And there's a ton of them out there, these Hollywood slim 48-hour red carpet type diets and fastings and stuff like that. So
what's the goal for most of those? Is it just to lose like 4 or 5 pounds instantly?
Totally.
And then they don't care later?
Well, there's one of two things. There's either a detoxification through fasting, which is why they recommend you do it if you have any like major surgery with your bum or you know, if they're going to do anything like that. Because it does. That's what it does. It forces your digestive system to naturally detoxify
right.
itself. Or it is, like you said, it's an extreme crash diet. Because when you completely cut off calories or you restrict them to a really low level, you're gonna lose weight. I mean, people on Survivor Island, they lose weight. It's
right.
just not the right way to do it. So it's a great way to trick yourself into believing you're losing a lot of weight really quickly.
Or if you drink bleach or something like that, doesn't
that
it clean out your system?
Because you will die.
Oh, you'll die. Oh.
Then they'll embalm you, and then you'll lose a ton of weight.
I gotcha.
So that's awesome. Let me stop you right there before you go on Psycho Mike. We are going to be taking your calls on the Psycho Body as usual in a few minutes for the calls on this particular topic. clear up some things for me, first of all. All this talk of detoxifying. When you hear these commercials for cleansing your bowels and stuff like that on the radio, it makes it sound like the human body is a toxic waste dump and you'll die tomorrow unless you get all the bad stuff out of your body. What's that all about?
Right. It's not – look, we do just living in Los Angeles alone, the pollution in the air and things like that. A lot of things we do to the human body are incredibly – they're saturated with pollution,
right.
and you know, we're putting carcinogens in our body all the time,
right.
But the human body is a very naturally adaptive entity and it can take care of its own self pretty well.
And let's face it, most people go through their life without doing any of this.
Yeah, there are people who are, there are 1,000 people who are 100 years old right now within, you know, 10 miles of this radio station who've lived here their whole lives and are fine.
Right. And they tell you to take antioxidants and to take this fiber supplement or this, you know, laxative to rid yourself of this and that. In actuality, your stomach makes enzymes, your body has antioxidants within it. And like I said, it's a really naturally adaptive product that can take care of itself and learn how to deal with pollution.
Right.
But at the same time, you can do certain things with your diet that will help you to rid yourself of toxins. Now, a lot of these products that are touted as being the number one best cleanser or detoxifier and stuff, they're really unnecessary because if you eat broccoli, for instance, you're going to get enough fiber. You know, if you do things naturally within a diet, you can do things to help facilitate the process.
And so what works and what doesn't work when it comes to cleansing, which is a scary word in relation to your health, and fasting?
Well, the key is really, if I could sum it up, is to not try to make any drastic changes.
And then we're going to take some phone calls if you have questions. 1-800-520-1067. Maybe you have, you know, one of your friends said, dude, I got the perfect thing. You just drink lemonade for 5 days straight, nothing else.
Yeah. Don't try to make any immediate changes to a problem that's going to take continuous and ongoing, you know, attention. That's the thing. It's going to try to really work on changing your diet as a whole and changing your lifestyle, not trying to do one immediate diet that's radical and going to, you know, make a difference in a couple hours.
Mike, here's what confuses me, and this is one of the great mysteries of the world, I think, is that you can't – tell me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is if you skip meals, your body at some point stops burning fat because it goes into a survival mode. That's what I've heard, that it's actually better to eat meals, eat more meals, but eat the right meals in the right quantities.
You're exactly right. You said it perfectly, because one of the most metabolic things you can do is eat. And it forces your body to get metabolic and be active and burn those calories. So when you go long periods of time without eating, your body starts to believe within that you're going to a period of starvation. So it starts to really, really hold on to those calories that you do have and hold on to.
And that goes back to caveman days. I mean, that's something that's built into your DNA because of where man came from, right?
That is 1,000-year-old human DNA, and that's science.
So your body stops losing fat, even though you're – you know, you may be not eating. Your body goes into a mode where it protects the fat, which is the opposite thing that you want.
Right, and you want to make your body a more efficient machine. And the way to do that is to continually eat very, very frequently and to eat healthy things, not to try to restrict yourself from eating altogether.
So many people skip meals because they think, hey, I'm on a diet. It's better for me if I don't eat. They're making a mistake, right?
Right, and that's a plague mostly of women. A lot of women think, look, I got to lose weight, so what should I do? I'll just stop eating. You know, and they don't eat breakfast. They wait till 4 o'clock in the afternoon to eat anything, and then they gorge out, because naturally you have this, you know, this inner sense of hunger, this voracious hunger, and then you just go crazy, and it destroys what you intended to do from the beginning.
I did that when I was running for Mr. Universe, and it didn't work. I had to change things up.
Like I've said before, we got to throw you out of the window because you're just a genetic god,
okay.
And you know, most people aren't as gifted as you are.
Let me ask one more question, and then we'll take a break and go to your phone calls. If you have anything for the psycho body this morning that has to do with fasting or one food or liquid diets or cleansing, we want those questions in specific today. 1-800-520-1067. Here's something I heard from a friend of mine who is trying to lose weight, and tell me if this is BS or if this person has it right or what the deal is. And this is what made me think about the fasting this week, is that you don't eat. I think the doctor told her, or the nutritionist or whoever she was dealing with told her, that something happens to your body between 18 and 24 hours of fasting where it resets your metabolism and makes it burn better or faster. Any truth to something like that?
That sounds hinky. I mean, I can't say that that's absolutely not true. You know, I haven't seen scientific studies to prove it otherwise. Mm-hmm. But typically, your body's going to be looking for food every 2 to 3 hours.
You know, that's what naturally.
Well,
your
my body
human
is so
system.
Happy then.
Yeah, no
my
kidding.
My body's looking for fudge every 2 to 3 hours and gets
and
it.
The key is to try to really regulate the amount you eat at those 2 to 3
tiny
hours.
Tiny amounts
yeah,
of food,
exactly.
A lot of times a day. Yeah, that's
so. There's in your opinion, and of course, Mike is a medical doctor, so
nope.
He can speak to the. He's
not
a medical doctor.
Nope.
You should check whatever Mike says with a medical doctor.
Yes.
Okay.
He got his. He's a trainer. He's a physical trainer, but he got his certificate out of the back of a van. So I don't
okay,
know.
And got that certificate revoked for killing people in the gym.
Right, sure.
So in your opinion, though, Mike, there's no reason to ever fast for a day, for instance. There's
honestly,
no good that can come of that.
Honestly, in my opinion, and like you said, I'm not a doctor, but in my opinion, there's really no overall benefit to going long periods of time without putting food in your body.
Now, this is great news. I love this.
This is separate.
So happy.
This is separate from a religious thing or whatever.
100%.
Miss Cleo here is celebrating, not celebrating, enjoying,
observing
Ramadan, and she can't eat during the day.
Right.
That's totally different.
That's totally.
We're talking about
for deference, and that's a totally different thing.
Losing weight or getting in better shape or whatever.
A lot of Americans purposely go without eating, thinking they're doing themselves a favor.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, don't.
Okay. 1-800-520-1067. We will take your calls when we get back.
Hi, this is Omar from the Kevin and Bean Morning Show. Before I went on the Psycho Body Plan, I was always tired, fat, fat, and fat. But then I got on the Psycho Body Plan.
And now, I can see through walls, lift 1,000,000 pounds, and my tastes like chocolate.
Oh.
Are you with me? Don't just get fit, get psycho. Don't just get strong, get psycho. Don't just get big, get psycho. It's the Psycho Body with your host, Psycho Mike. Are you with me?
We don't have to talk like that to do this.
Yes, we do.
Oh, that's what
mandatory.
1-800-520-1067. Psycho Mike is here for the Psycho Body. You can give us a call. We're talking about cleansing. We're talking about fasting. We're talking about single food diets that involve certain kinds of food, certain kinds of drinks. Does any of it work? Does any of it make sense? What's good? What's bad? Those are the questions that are on the table this morning, and your calls are invited.
And here's how we would handle this advice if we were you. We would discount it as coming from the Kevin and Bean Show, which you should always do. And then check it with like 2-3 doctors. One doctor, not enough.
Don't even check it. Just don't follow my advice.
Just don't do it. Yeah, don't do whatever he says. All right.
Let's start with Anita. She's in Anaheim, and she's on line 6 this morning. Hey, Anita. Go Angels, first of all, and welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you got?
Thank you. Hi, guys.
Hi.
I just wanted to ask Micah, Mike, how effective is our liver cleansers, and what exactly do they do?
Liver cleansers are usually almost always based on this thing called milk thistle. It's a flowering plant. It's in the daisy family. It's a really pretty flower, and they take an extract from it. And supposedly it pulls impurities out of your liver and makes it more effective at filtering out some of the stuff that you put in your body.
If you're a big drinker, maybe that's a good idea?
Exactly. Or if you're taking a lot of over-the-counter medications that tend to damage your liver.
Does it work?
It does in a sense, but it's better off to just not treat your liver poorly because they're showing a
right,
lot of.
But let's be honest.
No, well, but there's a lot of.
Our listeners have their liver shot by 30, Mike. Come on.
Very true, very true. But there's a lot of evidence out there that shows that milk thistle in particular can do a lot of negative things to you, like nausea. What's it called
good.
When you can't sleep?
Narcolepsy? Oh, that's
insomnia?
Just the opposite.
Insomnia.
Insomnia?
Nausea and skin rashes. And also it has a lot of negating effects on a lot of important medications that other people may be taking that have liver problems.
Is there
problems.
Something else that they should try for liver problems?
Always keep your liquids up. And by liquids, I don't mean alcohol. I mean water and tea and things like that. Keep your body flushing itself out naturally. Keep your, you know.
But you don't need
hydrating.
Anything like this. You don't need a liver cleanser of any kind.
Right. It's really just not necessary.
Okay.
Unless you're Keith Richards, you should be fine, right?
Yeah. Very true.
By the way, Mike, my dog, Kem Fung as Chin Ho, she's on milk thistle every day. She has to take a pill every single day because of problems with her liver that led to some health difficulties. Is it different for animals than it is for humans, or
well,
does it work the same?
Dog systems, both hormonally and their endocrine system, are completely different than humans. But at the same time, like I said, milk thistle does work at pulling impurities out, but they're showing a lot of evidence that it does a lot of nasty stuff to you as well.
Gotcha. Let's go to Brady. He's in Corona on line 2 this morning. We're doing the Psycho Body on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Brady. You're on with Psycho Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just curious about diets like the Atkins diet where you're not really fasting, but you're cutting out certain foods like carbs. And I've seen it be pretty effective with some people in losing weight once they go on maintenance.
Right.
Does that work?
There's no doubt that low carbohydrates, ketogenic diet, low carbohydrate diets like that, like the Atkins, are very effective at losing weight. But mostly it's because they force you to cut out all the sugary, high refined carbohydrates that most Americans eat on a day-to-day basis. So if you could find some middle ground between cutting out carbs completely and gorging on things like donuts and bagels, that's a better option. It's more healthy. It's more complete for your body. So try to just not cut out carbs completely, but focus in on carbs that are better for you and slower digesting, like brown rice and quinoa and yams and things like that.
Quinoa and yams is basically my diet. I mean, that's pretty much I live on that.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know what either of those things are.
I don't
are.
Either.
Let's try Mark in Simi Valley. He's on line 8. He's got a different approach to fasting that might be interesting. Hi, Mark. You're on with the Psycho Body. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, just want to make a comment. I fast every year for approximately 2 weeks, and I go 5 days water, 2 days like juiced up vegetables over the weekend, and back to 5 and then 2. But fasting basically is not meant for dieting, you know, to lose weight. That's not the idea behind it. The whole idea is that when you're fasting, you're not metabolizing food. Your body's not using that energy to metabolize food, so it redirects the energy for healing and detoxification.
I love the wireless phone.
Can you do
a
phone healing
in Southern California?
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Mike? He says it's good for the body to heal and redirect the energy that it would use ordinarily breaking down food. Does that make sense to you?
All these kind of fasting-based diets, like the maple syrup diet, the Master Cleanse, the lemonade diet, they're all invented by this guy Stan Burroughs in the 40s. He was this super weirdo hippie guy, and he thought that it was a great way to heal and kind of re-regulate your body. And look, if it makes you feel better and you're not doing it to lose weight and you don't really care about the effects on metabolism, go ahead. And if it does make you feel better, more power to you. I do not recommend doing that because I do think it is going to have long-term negative effects on your metabolism and your ability to digest foods as a whole.
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it till I die. F*** hippies.
Mary is in Redondo Beach on line 1. There has to be a billion-dollar industry in this country on these cleansings. And you see the commercials and you see the ads in the paper and you hear it on the radio and on the TV. Mary, that's what you're calling about, this Master Cleanse thing?
That's what I was wondering about. I think Psycho Mike might have just answered my question. I was just wondering, the lemonade diet where you do the maple syrup and the lemon juice and the cayenne pepper, and it's supposed to rid your body of all the toxins. I just wonder if there's any truth to that.
I don't know if it really rids your body of all toxins, but what I do know is it's pretty antagonist against the way the human system was designed. I mean, if you really analyze cavemen walking around hunters and gatherers and the human DNA, it's not, you know, we were not designed to have only lemon juice and maple syrup. I mean, and I think that you as a reasonable person can see that. So, like I said to the last caller, if it makes you feel better and you really enjoy doing it, more power to you, but I cannot sit here and recommend that as a feasible and smart way to diet.
I think I'm going to try just the maple syrup diet. Just drink it from a bottle.
Right. That's it. Sounds good.
Nothing else.
There have been people in the past who have tried the one food diet because the theory is, all right, you love Oreo cookies? Great. You get to only eat Oreo cookies. And the theory is that after you've had the first 40 of them, that now you don't want them anymore and you're just not going to eat anything. I mean, obviously that's stupid, but you can see what the psychology is involved with people trying to make something like that work.
All right, let's go to Stacy in Montrose. Good morning, Stacy. You're on with the Psycho Body.
Good morning, guys.
Hi there.
I was calling because I've heard that stress will build up cortisol in your body, and I've heard that if you do a fast or like a juice fast, that it'll help regulate your stress.
Well, to be honest, cortisol levels are raised when you go through a period of fasting. So, I mean,
so it's just the opposite of what you're...
It's the opposite. So you're already stressed out, and then you go on some whacked out diet, and you come out even worse.
And Stacy, when it comes to cortisol levels and stress, living a Western lifestyle, you're pretty much screwed anyway. I mean, having to work and be with your family and just the daily pressures.
Is there anything to do for stress?
Lots and lots of indiscriminate sex. I want you to go out, and I want you to bang the first guy you see and continue to do that for the rest of the week, okay?
Okay, that sounds great.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Stacy.
Let's close with Tony in Hacienda Heights. He sounds like he's got a desperate problem that he needs our attention with. Tony, hi. You're on the air with the Psycho Body. Go ahead.
Hey, morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
All right. I got a wedding in about 3 weeks or so, and I've got what you call a fat face, and I don't want that coming out on the picture, so I'm trying to figure out how I could possibly get rid of some water weight and not thin out my face.
Okay, first of all, gay. Second of all, if I could answer this is Kevin. I've tried to get people to understand this my whole life. No one understands. You don't lose weight before your wedding pictures because then you look the best you've ever looked and you put those pictures up all around your house. So for the rest of your life, people look at the pictures, they look at you, and they go, oh, he's kind of letting himself go. You let yourself go before the wedding pictures.
Uh-huh.
You take fat wedding pictures. The rest of your life, people look at the pictures, they look at you and go, you look great.
Because you were such a schlub on your wedding day, and now look at you.
Your whole life, they say that. So gain weight, Tony. That would be my advice.
How long have you been with your boyfriend, Tony?
Oh, we've been happy for about 6 years.
All right. I can suggest a herb called Uvi Ursi, U-V-I space U-R-S-I. And I know it sounds weird, but it's a natural herb, and it does help pull water away from your body. And also asparagus is a natural diuretic that works pretty well.
How should I do with the water intake? Should I keep it down or drink? Because I usually drink about a half.
Listen, gallon. Dude, you've got a big fat head. Let's not worry about it. You got a Barry Bonds head. It's not my problem, okay? I gave you two solutions. Just do it.
All right. Thanks for the call. And have fun at your wedding and stuff.
Yeah. Usually that call always comes from women.
Right.
Always the women are the one that want to lose the weight, look the best. Never the
right.
guys.
He's got a lot bigger problems if he's worrying about his fat face for his wedding pictures.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it.
Yes.
Psycho Body. You can email PsychoMike at krock.com if you'd like.
Oh, I love it.
But don't take any of his advice seriously. Okay. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:56. And it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I don't know. Bean's got nothing to say, huh?
I don't know what's happening.
That's sweet.
Can you guys not hear me?
Don't ruin it.
Oh, you ruined it.
What's the problem? What's going on, you guys?
Dude, I don't know.
What kind of nonsense is happening down there?
Psycho Mike, for a minute, we were blissfully bean-free.
Psycho Mike reached up and pushed a button, and then it worked again. So I don't know.
How are you going to come at me
Thanks,
like that?
Thanks, Psycho Mike. Nice work.
Idiot. Sorry.
Why do you have to ruin everything you do all the time?
It's just my way.
Our favorite dancing pirate, comedian Jeff Ross, is going to be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour here in just a few minutes on K-Rock to talk about his tremendous experience on Dancing with the Stars.
Speaking of pirates, Daily Variety reports that Johnny Depp has just signed on to appear as Captain Jack Sparrow once again in a fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
I think those movies have become increasingly unwatchable, by the way.
I think you're wrong, and I've enjoyed all three of them.
First one was the best, second one not as good, third one, I don't even think I could finish it.
Wow.
See, I think the first one was the best, second one not quite
was
as good.
Dip, third one good again.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Too. Yeah.
But all three of them, very watchable.
I enjoy all three of them. I enjoy the F out of them.
And I think a lot of it is due to him. I mean,
absolutely.
He's a great actor.
The whole cast is very entertaining. I mean, I hope they get Kira back and Orlando Bloom.
He's the old dude. I like him, too.
Jeffrey Rush.
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's terrific in that role as Barbossa. But, yeah, I'm on board. No pun intended. I'll sign up for a fourth. Apparently, he's doing a ton of work for Disney. And in concert with the producer of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, Jeffrey
producer
Guggenheimer.
I'm sure that's it.
No, Gatsby. It's not. What's the other guy? Bruckheimer. Jerry Bruckheimer. He is going to play Tonto in a big screen adaptation of The Lone Ranger because Bruckheimer is producing.
Who would be playing the Lone Ranger?
They have not cast yet the Lone Ranger, but they're hoping to get another high-profile big star to go up against Johnny Depp's Tonto.
Have the Indians already complained that an actual Native American has been hired to play that role?
Johnny Depp's grandmother is full-blooded Cherokee.
Nice!
Oh, good. He's got that in his back pocket then.
Suck it.
Awesome.
Even if she isn't, that's what you got to say.
No, she
that's
is.
Right.
She is.
I know, but even if she isn't.
In fact, Johnny's very much in touch with his Native American heritage and did a film called The Brave. I don't know if you ever saw that or not. He wrote and directed a film called The Brave, about where he played a young American Indian.
How about that?
Yeah, dealing with life on the reservation. So he's all stoked to play Tonto. I'll tell you, the Lone Ranger has sort of had a resurgent recently. There have been a series of graphic novels based on the character that have kind of given it a modern twist and updated it, made him much more sort of a vigilante a la The Dark Knight than the old Hi-Ho Silver Lone Ranger we knew from the old TV shows.
More moody and
stuff like
and,
that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, cool. So I think this film could actually be really good. And Johnny's also signed on to star as the Mad Hatter in Tim Burton's upcoming Alice in Wonderland in 3D.
That'll be wild.
That's going to be good.
Burton and Depp working together. I think it's their seventh time, I think, working together. So good news for Johnny Depp fans. Bad news for Britney Spears fans.
Uh-oh, now what?
Her new single, Womanizer, was supposed to drop Monday. But apparently there are some problems with the final mix, so they're holding on to the track.
That girl's fat.
Is the problem that she sang on it?
That's a music code for blues. Apparently, radio will get the track this coming Monday, so we'll all get a chance to sit back and point and laugh. So that's good news.
Doesn't she have enough good people on her team now that have her in the place that she's prepped for an actual comeback? Why rush something out that's not good? I mean, she should just take as long as it takes to make a great song to really cement her comeback.
She doesn't have that kind of time.
Really?
She doesn't have that much time to wait to do a really great song.
What, do you think people forget about her?
She'd be like 75 by the time that happened. I'm saying.
Take that long.
But she has other people write the songs. Yes. She brings in the top-notch producers.
Yes. But
what,
she's still
her. What does
her.
She have to do?
She's still her. That's her all problem. Right. Well, as you can imagine, like the rest of America, we were all shocked and disheartened at the news this week that Clay Aiken has announced that he's gay.
Being the only person who's still denying it.
Really.
He's not gay.
It shook most of America to its core.
It did, yeah.
Who could have seen that coming, really?
It's a publicity move. I'm telling you guys, he's just appealing to his fan base. He wants to sell more records, so he'll come out and say he's gay when clearly he's as straight as I am.
Well, his fan base apparently not taking the news well.
His fan base upset?
Here are some quotes from the Clay Board, which is the hardcore Clay Aiken fan message board.
You have to tell me.
Here are some quotes from the Clay Board from hardcore Clay Aiken fans.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes, please.
You're kidding about that, right, Bean?
I'm sure Bean's on there.
I'm Claymade69 on the board. Did they post any of my messages?
That's funny, but seriously.
So what are the other Claymates saying, Ralph?
Here are actual statements from Clay Aiken's fans, okay?
All right.
This is a gut-wrenching day for the Clay Nation. Someone wake me up, please. I hope it's a dream.
Really? Really?
Another Claymate writes the following. Okay. I'm going to come right off and say that when I saw it, I did cry. And I probably will if and when it's confirmed. But I might add, Clay looks gorgeous in the new picture.
What do you mean if and when it's confirmed? He's saying it.
No. Another Claymate writes, now my stomach just feels revolted. Nice sentence, by the way.
Yeah, good.
Now my stomach just feels revolted. It was fun for 5 years. Now for me, it's over.
Are you kidding me?
Listen, you a-holes. Doesn't matter if he's gay or not, A, and B, no one's been more gay than him.
Please tell me I'm not the only one who is shocked beyond belief. I feel numb. I'm so upset. This can't be real. How can you guys say this won't change anything? This changes everything. I don't even know what to think right now.
What idiots.
Apparently Sarah Palin has more votes out there than we figured.
Unreal that these people who claim to be hardcore Clay fans couldn't
right.
see it.
Right.
Well, this is what's interesting, Ralph. I'm glad you brought this up, because we've talked over the years about why won't Clay just come out. And one theory has been because he doesn't want to alienate his fan base. And then to that you reply, but they already know. Well, apparently they didn't want to know or didn't want to believe, and now it's tough for him to take the news.
And lastly, Simon Cowell was asked this week what he thought of the People magazine cover.
Yeah.
His response, wow, that's a shock. It's being told like Santa Claus isn't real. Unbelievable. God bless Simon Cowell.
Simon.
Yes, for having a sense of humor about the whole thing.
Dear God.
Today's celebrity birthday is Catherine Zeta-Jones. The raven-haired Welsh beauty is 39 years old today. I've had a crush on her for the longest time. I remember, I think it was the Zorro movie I first really took notice of her in with Antonio Banderas.
Awesome.
It's like, who the F is that?
What's that movie with Sean Connery that was so good?
Entrapment.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's spectacular.
Yeah.
Her husband, Michael Douglas, is 64 years old today.
39, 64.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Will Smith turns 40. Heather Locklear is 47. Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, and the voice of the Joker in the animated Batman TV series. He is 57. And newswoman Barbara Walters celebrates her 79th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Atmosphere doing some live music for us coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And we also have Erica Durance from Smallville coming into our studios a little bit later on this morning.
And Jeffrey Ross just booted off of Dancing with the Stars. By the way, I haven't been watching that show. Do you watch it at all, Kevin?
No.
Are you aware how filthy that show is?
No.
You should let your kids watch it.
What do you mean filthy?
Do you know what they're doing on that show?
No.
Listen to this.
The lovely Brooke Burke will show off her cha-cha. Hey,
come on.
Yeah. Yes.
Just say it.
If I'd have known that, I would have.
323-520-AFRO. That's the answering machine we have set up for you here at the world-famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin Bean Afro Line. You can call us on any topic. We play them back on the air. And sometimes it's not good news. I believe this message is for Omar.
Hey, this message is for Omar. The time is now!
Oh, no.
That has always been our fear, is that eventually somebody was going to flip a switch and it was on. Here's a guy calling about the new Killer song, I think.
Are we human or are we dancers? Are you trying to attract more gay listeners? Gay.
Yeah, are those the lyrics? We really need to check, because it's my opinion you can be both.
Yes.
Because I am, but we'll have to check and see.
Last night was the two-hour ABC primetime special with what's he calling himself now? Endurance artist. He's not a magician anymore. He's an endurance artist, David Blaine. Here's a listener calling about the dive of death.
David Blaine is a big douchebag, the douchiest of all.
Wait,
here's a listener.
Wait, yes? Until you hear the highlights of that.
I can't wait. I still don't know what happened. Dead or alive?
Just wait.
It was a dive of death.
Just wait. I'm going to have to yell, and I can't help it.
You know, we always invite your calls on Megan Fox, who's the world's most perfect woman ever. I think this caller may be wrong about her, though.
Hey, guys. I'm so over hearing about Megan Fox. Don't want to hear about the talking about Megan Fox, the whole segment. So over it. Please stop.
Perhaps she shouldn't be listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, f*** you.
This one, however, is more like it.
Guys. Oh, my God. Megan Fox. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Okay.
Okay, back to work.
All right, get a little too, dirty, I think, there. Clay Aiken in the news a lot this week. People are calling the Afro Line about him.
Playmate? More like gay mate. Oh,
no, he didn't.
Hey, tomorrow morning in the 8 o'clock hour, I don't know if you're aware, Kevin, that it has been confirmed that we do have the guy coming in to blacklight the studio.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Our CSI guy that's going to come in and turn off all the lights and put the blacklight on it so we can see what fluids are in here?
Absolutely,
oh,
yes.
Oh, no.
I don't know that we'll ever want to work out of that room again, but speaking of blacklighting, that's what this call's about.
Yeah. Kevin made the comment that you wouldn't want to take a blacklight into a public men's restroom in a park.
Nope.
And my only question is, why the light got to be black?
That's a good question. Hadn't thought of that.
As you know, one of our favorite shows is Heroes. It came back this week. That's what this Afro call's about.
Claire is all right. Tyler's all right. They just seem a little weird. Mohinder. Mohinder. Mohinder?
That's good. Most of the people that call us songs, they blow. That was a good one.
It was very good, yeah. Here's an update on another artist who we admire very much.
I just found out that Nate Dogg just had a second stroke. I'm just wondering if you guys could contact him and see how he's doing. I'm real concerned.
We may have to make that call for
I'm sure you're real concerned, sir.
You know, it's bad news if you're a Kevin and Bean fan. You're just inviting trouble into your life, and I think this is proof of that.
Wanted to ask if you've ever heard of this happening before. A friend of mine was wearing a Kevin and Bean t-shirt to a concert we went to recently, and a security guard approached him and said, "All right, where's your weed man?" You know, he was carrying some, of course, but now it's becoming something that law enforcement and security guards discriminate against. Hope you guys are aware of that. Later.
Do you think the security guard wanted some? Or was
I don't know.
Was interested?
I think if you're wearing a Kevin and Bean t-shirt, you might as well put a sign on your back that says, "Search me for weed." I think that's what the point is here.
So let's just make shirts that say that. They say Kevin and Bean on the front, "Search me for weed" on the back. Might as well.
Here's a listener who ran into our little friend Julio, who works here at K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean, I am at the Rockin' Tours show at the Greek, and at the K-Rock booth is a little midget. There's a midget working for K-Rock. Were you aware of this?
Yes, we are, and he's the best guy in the world.
Like we weren't involved in that hiring. And finally, and this breaks my heart to have to bring this to you, 323-520-AFRO if you want to leave a call. But I don't know how much more disappointment our listeners can take.
I was expecting you guys to be so smoking hot because you guys always talk about hot chicks this, hot chicks that. You guys are revolting.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are gross. Like, I can't even, when I look at you and then talk to you guys and leave you a message, I'm throwing up right now.
Yeah, and that's a surprise to us.
Look, we don't have to be hot in order to appreciate other people that are hot, okay?
And we've said many times, if we're judged on the same scale that we judge women on, we would be somewhere in the negative numbers. We're fine with that. We're okay with that. We know we're ugly. We know we make you throw up. It's okay with us. We've made peace with it. So thank you for calling 323-520-AFRO. You know, if you've listened to our show for any amount of time, we love Dancing with the Stars. That show rules.
By the way, I might check it out from time to time. Okay. But, for instance, this week, it was on for 6 hours. And yeah. If I'm going to follow a show, there's no way. I don't have 6 hours. So, therefore, I found out too late to even tune in and enjoy our friend Mr. Jeffrey Ross as a contestant on Dancing with the Stars because he's already gone. I haven't even checked it out yet. He's already been kicked off the show.
Hey, Jeff.
How you doing?
Kicked off the show before it began.
I made it past the first commercial.
Oh, okay, first commercial.
But,
okay.
Jeff, 83-year-old Cloris Leachman is still dancing on the show, and you're at home in your underwear. What happened?
It's so awful. 50-1, they had me at the Las Vegas Wynn Casino, and I didn't disappoint.
Yeah, I have a clip. Apparently, you got injured, but like all true athletes, you pushed right through it.
Jeffrey Ross was injured when he was accidentally poked in the eye during rehearsal. He was rushed to the hospital. Doctors said he has a scratched cornea. Oh. They advised him not to dance, but in the spirit of a true entertainer, or just a reckless human being, he decided the show must go on.
Yes.
Big mistake.
Jeffrey Ross with an eye patch. That's the only thing that could possibly be better than Jeffrey Ross.
It's crazy. It's been the most crazy couple of days.
How are you? Was it a real serious injury? Or?
You know, it's like you get poked in the eye and for like 10 minutes you're like, all right, well, this will stop in a second. And then in 15 minutes and then 20 minutes later you're like, I got to go to the hospital.
Jeff, this is Bean speaking. I got a scratched cornea. I hit a cardboard box into my eye when I was, I don't know, young. Oh. And it hurt for, I'm not kidding when I tell you that it hurt for 15 years.
My
yes. scratched cornea hurt.
So think about that, Jeff.
I mean, I thought it was going to be a permanent rest of my life thing, but that can be very, very serious and very, very painful. And I do have a great deal of sympathy for you. But thank God you didn't let America down. You still went out there and danced poorly.
Bean, this was our last rehearsal, the last move of the routine before we did it live on television. It was like poking me in the eye. It's like the Two Stooges try to dance.
Here's what's going to be great, though, Jeff. Well, there's two things. One is you've opened up yourself for jokes in every roast. They're all going to be about you dancing. And two is that eye's going to hurt you for 15 years, and like 13 years from now, you're going to have to go, I was on a TV show about dancing. Nope, I'm serious.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I wasn't even me. Who apparently is very funny and looks and sounds a lot like me.
Jeff is one of those guys who should be on these shows because he brings a little bit of comedy to a show that doesn't have it.
Len, honestly, yes. I respect your opinion the most because you're a legend. You've been judging Dancing with the Stars since it was a radio show.
Because it was never a radio show.
Someone does need to make fun of how dumb the whole idea of the show is. That's for sure. I mean, was it a good experience, Jeff? Are you glad you did it?
I don't have any regrets. The 5 weeks of learning how to dance was really, really cool. It was like, you know, the old-time comedians, they could dance, they could sing. So it was fun to sort of broaden my repertoire.
Now, is this going to help you with the ladies? You're going to go, oh, yeah, I could do the, like, what dance did you learn that you'll probably remember the rest of your life?
Well, you didn't see it, but last night during the results show, they let me do the dance that got cut. So I did something called the quick step, which looked like an old-time movie, like Fred Astaire.
Right.
To my normal, like Fred
Astaire. Did you throw in, like, the robot or something like that?
I worked a little of my freestyle magic. I have to give the people what they want.
Now, Jeff, this is Jeff Ross on the phone, the Roastmaster General. Of course, we're talking about his early ejection from Dancing with the Stars. He was the first one to go, and then the great Ted McGinley was shortly right after
him. I don't think they were even planning on eliminating anybody that night, but still, Jeff had to go.
Jeff, here's what I have to ask, and again, I apologize because I haven't been watching. How much interaction do you have with the other contestants, say, Kim Kardashian?
Kim Kardashian was so nice to me. She definitely was, I think she was trying to stay on my good side because she was afraid I would make fun of her.
She didn't want you to, take pot shots at her?
Like Warren Sapp showed up with an eye patch on the day I was eliminated. That made me feel really, you know,
awesome.
At least some solidarity there. And Ted McGinley put my eye drops in backstage before I danced.
It's a love fest.
The whole thing was actually, I mean, I know it sounds totally crazy, but I really, I'm going to cry when this is all sort of done and passed. And I mean, I lost like 15 pounds. I learned all this new skill. It's like overwhelming a little bit.
Are you going to be the a-hole of the club that goes out and just like dances for real, and everybody else that's out there just trying to keep the beat looks at you like, oh, I want to show off?
Well, I'm going to have to give the people what they want. Clearly, my fans won't just stop dancing.
Here's another one of Jeff's answers when he was talking about the outfits that they get to wear on Dancing with the Stars.
I will say, speaking of ballroom, these pants are very, very
all funny. Right, Jeffrey, thanks so much.
You know, if you're not going to make a splash, what's the point of doing
this? I hear you.
Kevin had a great question earlier in the week, Jeff, that I want to ask you. Does ABC give Jimmy Kimmel one slot to fill per season of Dancing with the Stars? And do you have any idea which one of his goons he's going to put up there next year?
Well, it better not be that goon Sal, because he really, really tortured me this week.
He should have. Would you consider Jimmy to be one of Jimmy's goons yourself?
No, I consider myself a friend.
You do, okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
it's
right.
Just a lucky coincidence that I got to plug my stuff on.
He hasn't told you yet.
What did Cousin Sal do to you? He did it on the Kimmel Show or where?
No, he did it. It's kind of awful. But 20 minutes before the live broadcast, I get a text message from Cousin Sal. He says, you're safe.
You're safe?
You're safe.
What does that mean?
That he got inside information.
Oh, that you didn't get voted off?
I'm gonna dance that night, and I'm not gonna get voted off.
Awesome.
Okay, so remember, guys, I've been working 5 weeks on this routine. I'm about to dance it. Now he tells me I'm safe. I relax. I go, okay. Wow, I'm gonna be able to show this thing off. Now for 2 hours, I stand there in that ridiculous community chess guy tuxedo, waiting to dance this ridiculous routine, telling my partner editor, "Don't worry,
we're safe.
Don't worry, we're safe. We're cool." Then it gets to 5 minutes to 10 p.m. 2 hours later, I'm standing there in 2-inch heels. And they say that Kim Kardashian is safe, and I'm off the show.
Yeah, that's funny. But didn't you, I mean, you have to know when you get a text from Sal
that he's just screwing with you.
I text him back and I say, are you sure? And he says, yes, don't tell anybody.
And by the way, for folks who don't know Jimmy's cousin Sal, he's Mr. Plugged into the odds in Vegas and Hollywood and everything else. I mean, if anyone has inside information, it's reasonable to think that he might.
Somebody's got to put it up on YouTube. I went on the show last night on Kimmel screaming at Sal.
Oh, fantastic.
With Edita, my partner. And the whole thing has been sort of an emotional drain, I got to tell you.
Well, you didn't sound bummed when they gave you your low scores.
4.
Yeah!
4.
Yeah!
4.
12, but you don't seem to have spirit, Stanford.
No, I feel really good.
I like that he's screaming, yeah. Now, at that point, did you still think you were safe because of Sal's message?
No, I was even upset because when I got hurt, the doctor said, don't dance in the emergency room. And I went to an ophthalmologist, Dr. Hopp,
an eye doctor.
Beverly Hills, this guy, says, you know what, I don't think you should dance either. So now I got two doctors told me not to dance.
Right.
Okay. Listen, the show must go on. I'm thinking old school. I got to dance. If I can walk, I can dance.
That's been my motto. If I can walk, I can dance.
The producers say, let us show the rehearsal tape. No one's ever done that. They'll judge the rehearsal tape. You'll be sitting there with your eye patch. You'll get the sympathy vote. I said, no, I want to dance. I get an email from Kimmel saying, you got to dance. You'll be a hero. So then I dance, and it sucks.
Oh.
So the whole next day, I'm thinking, I'm going to get the sympathy vote. But my score was so low, it was the lowest in like 5 seasons, that I got bounced.
Wow.
It's just awful because I was having such a good time.
That's the best.
That's
sick. You're my hero on one hand and gay on the other.
Oh, gosh.
Well, all I know, and I don't know if you're going to have time to come in and see us again. I know you got a new DVD coming out in October, but
please wear the eye patch if you do come in, right? Because that's what we really want to see in person.
I've got the eye patch of the tiger, fellas. I had a million jokes I couldn't get to on the show. You know, like all those
so sad.
In favor of us going on to the next week, say aye, aye, patch. I just get the crowd on my side.
Come back in mid-October when your DVD comes out.
I really appreciate that.
All right, Jeff.
Kevin and Bean, I love you guys.
Thank you, man. Bye.
Kevin, you were on vacation last week, and you missed our new favorite guy. He is a minister who works out of a church in New York.
I collect crazy preachers. That's one of the things that I love.
One of the best things about crazy preachers is that they really do – they're very strong. They're very strong in their beliefs because they believe they're speaking the divine word of God. I mean they really do think that they're plugged in and what they're saying is unimpeachable. And if you're wrong, you're going to hell. And this guy's awesome. He will surprise you because he's a black minister in New York City who is way for McCain. Way
oh,
for McCain.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know much about his church or his congregation, but he has he's really been offended by, in his opinion, the way the media have attacked Sarah Palin's daughter, Bristol, who's 17 years old and pregnant.
Right.
In fact, he draws a comparison between Bristol Palin and Barack Obama's mom, who was also a teenage unwed mother when she became pregnant with him. Here's a little bit of that.
The difference between Obama's mama and Bristol Palin is that Obama's mama was trash. I mean, she was dirt. She was a bag of trash sitting on the sidewalk waiting there in Honolulu on one of those streets for the garbage truck to come by and pick her up and take her to the dump.
Okay. So that's the Reverend, the Honorable James David Manning.
There's a lot of stuff in the Bible on love, and I think he must have read right over all that.
So he's a man of God, and he's angry at the media more than anything. In fact, I think you'll detect a hint of a threat here if, in his view, the liberal left-wing media keeps going after Bristol Palin. Here's what he's got in mind.
Hey, come on. Let's find out what the children of these news reporters, Keith Olbermann, Chris Matthews, let's find out what your deranged, drug-dealing, Satan-worship, homosexual, sodomizing children, what are your children doing? What are they doing?
The Honorable James David Manning joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Minister. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you doing today?
How do you know that that guy's kid worships Satan?
Well, that's what they do. That's what their children are doing. That's why we should take a look at their children.
Okay.
But how about just your children, Kevin Ryder?
Well, no, let's not.
How about your children? How about your testicular cancer-causing children knitting kites for Satan?
What are you talking
about? How about your badminton-playing children with your carving gargoyles? How about your children?
I don't know what you're talking about, first of all. And I never made fun of Sarah Palin's daughter.
Well, how about him anyway?
Okay, well, I can't answer that.
Here's the thing, Mr. Manning, and that is just because somebody puts the spotlight on a woman who could be the vice president of the United States in a couple of months doesn't mean that they're necessarily bad people. Maybe they're just asking questions that need to be asked.
Maybe you are a bag of trash.
Oh.
Sitting by the side of the road, filled up with old banana peels and eggshells and maybe some dog poopy. Also in that bag of trash, waiting for the trash man to come, pick it up, take it to the dump, put it in the dump, get us some sort of landfill situation.
We understand how that works.
In the ground,
right?
Back up the garbage truck.
We understand.
Empty the bags of garbage into the landfill situation.
Right.
Let it all seep into the groundwater, poison the water,
Reverend,
and then they drink it up.
Reverend, is it possible to ask questions about people without having history that needs to be dug up on ourselves?
How about yourself? Digging up things about other people's selves.
I'm not doing that.
With your distilled water evaporating, hair curler ruining, shower grout mildewing children.
What are you talking about?
I have no idea.
I am certain
that I am quite insane.
Yes, I think that's right. I know that you're voting for McCain, and that's fine. I respect
that's right.
That. I respect that decision, but here's my question. Is it Barack Obama's fault that his mom was an unwed teenage mom? I mean, didn't he do a lot to overcome that by, you know, surviving that environment and still growing up and managing to go to college and make something of himself? Don't you give him some credit for that?
Don't you tell me about that piece of trash Barack Obama with his going to Harvard and being the first president of the law review at Harvard and being a community activist and help solving labor problems in Chicago.
That all sounds good.
Yeah, that does sound pretty good. I'm going to have to look into this whole politics thing.
Plus, highlights of the David Blaine special last night. Two hours.
You just tease. You're not actually ever going to deliver that, are you?
The dive of death.
Doesn't work very well, does it?
No, you're in the tube of history there.
Way far away.
Yeah. It's the dive of death. Okay.
That'll be coming up in the 8 o'clock hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. Don't forget, tomorrow, black light in the studio. We find out how many secretions are in
the
room.
Why the light got to be black?
Well, I'm just saying, we've been wanting to have that checked for a long time because, seriously, we're all a little icked out by having to step into there.
Yeah.
All right, 7:57, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for Thursday. What's going on?
You guys are just idiots.
What? Why are we idiots?
Because you're forgetting the most important part. You talked about everything else today, tomorrow, everything. You've missed the most important part of today's show.
Well, we've mentioned Erin Durant several times.
No,
that she's
you haven't nearly enough.
Oh, yeah,
certainly not nearly enough.
We didn't.
She's
that
on the way in the 9 o'clock hour.
Erica Durant, Smallville.
Oh,
yes.
Come on, with Erica Durant. You know she's a stepmom.
Oh,
really? Can you imagine?
Come on.
Can you imagine?
No.
Some kid comes home to that, and it's his mom.
Yeah, I'm hoping the kid's like two and just doesn't get it yet.
Because, I'm hoping the kid's like 14.
Because you're creepy. But she's so good on that show, and she's so beautiful and talented, and I love her so much. So let's hurry up and get to that.
Well, we can't really. I mean, she's scheduled to come in at 9 o'clock.
Well, let's just wait quietly until she arrives.
Okay.
What do you say? In the meanwhile, let's talk about another one of my favorite ladies, Charlize Theron, in the news.
That girl's fat.
Oh, how dare you?
Insane.
Can it's we ridiculous.
Just stop Bean? Can we just turn him down?
Yes,
that wasn't me,
stop
by the way.
That wasn't me.
Stop
that was
him.
Kevin.
Stop
hey,
him.
Bean.
I didn't do it.
Once upon a time, Charlize Theron was asked about The Hills. She was asked in March when doing an interview with MTV about The Hills.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't know what The Hills are.
Oh, that's the best.
She goes, oh, now you're going to make me look like an old fart. God, you're a mother effer. Unbelievable. You're supposed to make me look like a cool movie star. Come on, get with it. What's The Hills? She was kidding with the interviewer from MTV. So now they're interviewing her again this time around for Battle in Seattle. And she has taken upon herself to educate herself and watch some episodes of The Hills. Here's what my sweet Charlize had to say. I realize that this effing show is huge. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Why? She's talking to MTV News again, all right? Why is it so big? It's about nothing. I mean, this is a free country. Freedom of speech, right? You can tell me right now to my face that Reindeer Games was a piece of S. That's totally fine. But The Hills is about nothing.
Yeah.
I get it. The girls are attractive, and when they cry, their mascara runs, and that's real, but I don't get it. Maybe I need to watch the show some more. No, you don't, Charlize. You're absolutely right. It's garbage.
Why are you bad, America?
I think it's so funny that she knew she was going to face MTV again, so she had to school herself a little bit.
She's the best.
Yes, she is. Ah. Speaking of the best, are you familiar with Michael Douglas?
Sure.
No.
The Academy Award-winning actor?
Yes.
The movie star? Yes.
We've been talking about him because it's his birthday today, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's 64 years old.
Right.
He was at the United Nations this week.
Talking. As a tourist?
No. Oh. Talking to the United Nations about a nuclear test ban treaty. This is something he feels passionately about. He's been active in this cause for years.
Stop testing nuclear bombs.
The end of testing for nuclear bombs, yeah. And so he does a news conference after he speaks at the United Nations.
Right.
And the reporters start to ask him about the Wall Street situation.
Okay.
Now, for a moment, you may seem confused by why they would possibly ask Michael Douglas, an actor, about the Wall Street situation.
Yes.
You may remember about 20 years ago, he did a movie called Wall Street.
Which was great.
Which was great, and he was great in it. Played Gordon Gekko. And they started peppering him with questions about the current state of corporate financial institutions on Wall Street. The reporter asked him, are you Gordon saying greed is not good? And Douglas went nuts. He said, I'm not saying that. And my name is not Gordon. He's a character I played 20 years ago. And then at that point, he would not answer any more questions about financial institutions on Wall Street. Yeah. Who are these people, and why would they do that?
I don't know.
I don't know. God bless Harvey, and I love his TMZ, but all of his cameramen need to take more pictures and shut the F up. Well, they shouldn't be throwing interview questions out to, about stuff that's stupid and unrelated to the stars that they're covering.
I think they get enough stupid answers back that then it makes news. So-and-so said such and such.
But this isn't a guy coming out of Mr. Chow's after dinner. He's at the United Nations talking about a nuclear test ban treaty.
Yeah. What about that movie you were in 20 years ago?
How about, Gordon Gekko, what about Wall Street Now? How's Greed Now?
I don't know. I didn't write it or anything. I just said the words. Leave me alone.
I didn't believe in it. I just acted in
it. That sounds unnecessary.
It's like going to Jack Nicholson because he was in A Few Good Men saying, what? How about the Marines in Iraq?
How about how they're happening? Huh? Handle the truth. Handle this, Marine guy.
It's pretty retarded.
Great casting news, especially if you're a Johnny Depp fan. He's going to be a busy actor in the next couple of years. He's announced that he will sign on once again to play Captain Jack Sparrow in a fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Fantastic.
I'm on board.
Yeah, me too.
He's also said he's agreed to play Tonto in a big screen adaptation of The Lone Ranger.
Hey!
Which could be very cool if they did it in sort of a modern Western kind of way.
Yeah, I wonder who would be the...
He may be more Native American than Asian, Mike.
Sorry.
Tonto.
I don't know. They haven't cast The Lone Ranger yet. You don't think it should be The Lone Ranger? You wouldn't know because you don't watch the show.
Weird Al?
John Hamm.
John Hamm.
From Mad Men.
Oh, would he be good looking?
Oh, he's such a man. He's such a man's man.
Yeah. Easy, dude.
Oh.
Aiken.
Easy.
Clay Aiken. Clay Aiken would be a good Lone Ranger, too. Another man's man.
And yes, Johnny. I'm gay.
And Johnny will also star as the Mad Hatter in Tim Burton's upcoming Alice in Wonderland in 3D. So, busy, busy boy. More casting news. I mentioned already that Robert Downey Jr. will star as Sherlock Holmes in an upcoming film based on the legendary detective. He's just got a female co-star for that movie. Rachel McAdams will be joining Robert Downey Jr. This is good news for all of us. Jude Law will play Dr. Watson, his sidekick in the flick. And as I always mention, every time I talk about these movies, there is a comedy Sherlock Holmes also in the work with Baron Sacha and Cohen as the master detective and Will Ferrell as Dr. Watson.
That's going to be the one.
I think they're both going to be good. So that's cool.
That Baron Sacha Cohen does good work.
Yes.
Or Sacha Baron Cohen.
That guy, too. How about that Wall Street situation, Michael?
You were in a movie a long time ago, weren't you?
How's Greed Now, mother effer?
Like it's his fault. Like everything is traced back to that movie and him.
Today's celebrity...
We got some traffic problems on the streets of San Francisco, Michael. Yeah. What do you got to say about that
now? How about cable cars, bitch?
Today's celebrity birthday. Speaking of Michael Douglas, he's 64 years old today. Jeez, what do you get Michael Douglas for his birthday, 64? How about a 39-year-old wife named Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Yeah.
You got your present already.
Will Smith is 40 years old today. Heather Locklear is 47. Mark Hamill turns 57. And Barbara Walters from The View. And ABC News, she is 79 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Right now, not quite as cute, but very talented, ladies and gentlemen, from Atmosphere.
Hey,
Slug.
Hey, in the studio. You're not quite as cute, man.
Have you seen Lois Lane,
sexy
dude?
I got to come down here? I'm so sexy right now.
Yeah, I guess people listening won't know, will they?
No.
Sure. How you doing, man? What's going on?
No, I'm great, man. How you guys doing?
Why did you kill Ant?
I didn't kill Ant.
Oh.
No, he's just somewhere hungover.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
that's acceptable. You know, that's
we don't require Ant to come do any of the talking or any of the all the fun stuff. He's not into fun stuff.
He just does the DJ and then that's it.
Okay,
yeah. I got you.
We have had hundreds of bands over the years that we've been on the morning show here at K-Rock Slug, and we always have mad respect for the guys in the group who don't have to get up in the morning and come in and do the show. The guys who aren't required to be there.
You're rubbing
the smart
it in.
Ones.
You're rubbing it in, right?
Yeah,
now.
He is. Yeah. They are the smart ones.
I'm into that.
The band is called Atmosphere, and they're a rap band that seems to have broken through to appeal to everybody. I mean, you don't have the same kinds of fans that some rap fans have, which is to say strictly black. Would you say I'm accurate on that?
Well, my mom likes what I do, you know. I mean, we have managed to break through, but you know, all of hip-hop at this point is kind of broken through. I don't know if anybody
I think so too
has strictly black fans or you know, I think at this point I think there's just way too many white kids in this country, and they want to get into rap too. And
so you're right. I said that wrong. I guess I should say you're the kind of rap band that has broken through to maybe to white stations and white media. You know, you're likely to be on KCRW and on K-Rock and stations like that, where maybe a lot of the other hip hop bands were. There's something about whatever it is that you're doing that is that seems to be have a real broad appeal to people who like rock music.
I always thought it had to do with the fact that I had really bad tattoos.
Yeah? You think that'll help?
I think that really
What are
helps.
Your bad tattoos?
Oh, man. Like,
you what, did you do them yourself or something?
Well, no, not yet. That's coming. That's next.
You're just sketching stuff now that's and then you'll fill it in?
That's when it's time for us to break into country radio.
There you go.
Now, did you grow up in Minneapolis?
Yes, I did.
What is that like? I mean, because Prince is the only person I know from that area.
Prince, Replacements, Husker Du, Morris Day, who actually lives out here now.
Yeah.
You know, I think Minneapolis has an effect on the art because of the winter, because of how much time we actually spend indoors for half of the year.
Sure.
A lot of the art, I do think, is you can kind of see the effect it's had. Essentially, I like to tell people, when you listen to Prince and compare it to who Prince was trying to be or who he was imitating when he was first starting out, his stuff is a colder version. Or a
colder version.
It is, you know.
It's just the weather sucks so much.
Well, I think it's more so the isolation. You know, the time that these artists have to spend alone and not necessarily negotiating or working with other artists. I think, and so when I say colder, I don't necessarily mean like temperature, right. But I just mean same with the time. When you look at what the time was doing and compare it to like the other funk that was going on in the 80s, it's a brittle version of it. You know, Replacements was a brittle version of the punk movement.
What is it that makes so many of the artists stay in Minneapolis? Why is it such a great place to live that they don't, when they have the opportunity to move away, do so?
Because we could just do, you know, we don't have to be incredibly successful to buy a house there. Everything's cheap.
well, makes a difference.
That's a good point.
Yeah, here you got to have about 4 albums under your belt and sell millions of copies before you can actually buy a house.
It's ridiculous out here. Like, one house out here is worth about 7 homes back home.
Wow. What do you tell people that are not familiar with your music, what your songs are about? What are the topics that you most cover?
I mean, for me, man, most of my songs are kind of just about my thoughts and theories and whatever. I write stories that express how I feel about certain subjects. And, you know, I either build characters or I use myself and speak in first person. But, you know, it's I mean, as of late, I'm noticing this weird tinge of optimism in all of my songs. And so now I tell people my songs are, you know, about optimism and about, you know,
are they
community.
Or you're just lying about that.
No, it's true. They but are. I think as I'm getting older, you know, my life is starting to become more about that. You know, 5 years ago, my songs were about codependency and alcohol. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whereas that's what I was dealing with. So when people ask, I usually tell them, you know, we make concept records and the concept is me.
you come up with good album names. I'll tell you that. You got God Loves Ugly.
That was let me just interrupt you. That was the first Atmosphere album I ever bought, and I was so encouraged. I was so hoping that you were right when I saw God Loves Ugly. I thought, finally, I've made it. Finally, I got something to be happy about, but I don't think you're right on that.
Oh, can't imagine how much fun we're having. And the current one, I can't really say, but When Life Gives You Lemons, You Paint That Gold. is a great album.
Thank you.
Our next
album is actually called Warning. If You Ask a Stupid Question, Randy Will Set You on Fire.
I like it.
Thank you.
I like it. Is it true?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Randy.
Randy's right there. Okay. Yeah. Fantastic.
Why are you calling the tour the Paint the Nation tour, Slug?
Well, you know, we're trying to be cute and tie it into the album. You know, it's like the whole campaign for this record was about painting things gold, because it's got that in the title of the record. But also, you know, it's cute because this is just a national tour. We're only doing the states on this particular. We're not even going to Toronto, which is
F them, the Canadians.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you know. and then so it just so luckily you know, tied in. At least the people at the label were happy that they could figure out ways to cutely tie it into, you know, the election and all that.
Now you're gonna perform live. We do have 5 pair of tickets for the Wiltern tonight.
Oh, I want a pair.
We can give them out.
I think you're going. You're going already, yeah.
Sweet. 1-800-520-1067. If you can go to the Wiltern tonight, don't call if you can't. We don't want to waste the tickets. But if you can go tonight and you want to see Atmosphere, we will give away 5 pair of tickets right now.
This is that's a great venue for y'all to be selling out. I'll tell you,
it's a beautiful
big deal.
Room, man. We played there once before, and I was just really overwhelmed by the room, and I'm looking forward to tonight. Yes.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to get some live music in just a second. Atmosphere is here. Slug will move into the next room, and we'll hear.
One of the great treats of being on the Kevin and Bean Show is getting the chance to meet the musical artists that we admire and get a chance to see them up close and personal performing live. We have Atmosphere in our studio today. They're in town for a sold-out show at the Wiltern tonight. We just gave away 5 pairs of tickets, and now we all get a chance to hear you guys playing live. I guess you're going to be doing You for us. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
There we go. All right. Live music from Atmosphere on K-Rock.
You love the people that love you. You hear the music they move to. But you don't know, you don't know, you don't know. You love the people that love you. You hear the music they move to. You give your all to the fall through. But you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know you.
Just got off work, huh? Another night feel like the worst one. You didn't even count your tips yet, but you could tell that it ain't no big step. I don't see why you so nice. The customers are all what? Lowlifes. Don't fight. Just keep the lips stiff. Get that money. It's the weekend shift. But why they all gotta be freaks, huh? Wish they would just eat and leave, huh? And keep their eyes to themselves. Already insecure, don't need any help. Nah, you could blame the pride that makes you hold your anger inside. But deep down, you wanna curse them all like, huh, Los Angeles.
You love the people that love you. You hear the music they move to. You give your all to the fall through. But you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know. You love the people that love you. You hear the music they move to. You give your all to the fall through. But you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know you.
Nah, attitude check. Still show up, you haven't quit yet. Even when you're meek and sweet, they still treat you like a piece of meat. Outrageous. Each day this clock tick-tock and you still a waitress. Trying to pay them student loans and the lights and the phone and the food and the home. Oh, and you ain't quite broke, but you couldn't afford that place on your own. Got a roommate to split the rent with, and now you never feel independent. And everything seems so hollow, cause after work, where'd that smile go? Better bring it back tomorrow. Now pick up the pace and you might make bar clothes. Perfect, last call then some. Flirting, sexual tension. Surfing, food and men, cause they all searching for that bent one. Or just one to bend, and you look like you could be my friend. With a smile like that, I gotta flirt, girl. You look like you just got off work, huh?
You love the people that love you. You hear the music they move to. You give your all to the fall through. But you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know. You love the people that love you. You hear the music they move to. You give your all to the fall through. But you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know you.
Atmosphere here on the Welcome to Skyrock. You can get the original version of that on their album out now called When Life Gives You Lemons, You Paint That Gold. By the way, Slug, Mary writes in, who's sitting in her car listening to you perform right now, that she's the biggest fan and she wants you to know that she named her dog after you. So she's got a little dog named Slug. How about that?
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Thanks, Mary. Be nice to it in bed.
I don't even want to know what you meant by that. Will Turd sold out tonight. Atmosphere, thanks for stopping by. Great to talk to you guys today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. KROQ at 7 minutes after 12.
Yes.
What is happening here?
I don't know.
All of our electricity just went out and it was pitch black and Mike was going around grabbing women. I don't know what's happening here. It's a strange thing.
I would suspect KROQ didn't pay the bills. Hey, listen, I didn't watch it last night because I didn't have 2 hours to throw away, but apparently the David Wayne Dive of Death was on ABC last night. Now, he'd been hanging upside down, they say, for 60 hours, although as we discussed yesterday, he was taking frequent breaks, so yeah. Really, how tough was it? Yeah. But you did watch it, and all day long have been teasing us that we're not going to believe what happened. Unless he's dead, I'm ticked off.
Me too, because it's called the Dive of Death.
Right.
Now, here's what I will say about David Blaine. His stuff on the street, his magic on the street where he kind of blows people's minds with card tricks and quarters and stuff like that, it is super impressive. And most of the show was that. But surrounding that was all the hype about this stupid dive of death that was going to happen later tonight.
Well, now, he's turned into what he calls an endurance artist.
Yes.
And now most of what you see David Blaine doing is sitting on a block of ice for a week and
yes.
stuff like that. And that's what last night was about. He was hanging upside down, and then at the end of it, they were going to cut the rope, and he was going to fall to the ground? Or what is the dive of death?
They never explained it to us, but they teased dive of death about 400 times during the 2 hours. They had doctors there. Everybody was concerned that he was going to die. And here is just a few of the highlights. We kind of made our own little montage of David Blaine's dive of death.
David Blaine, hope you die. David Blaine is a giant douche nozzle. Die. David Blaine, hope you die. David Blaine, hope you die tonight, you douche. Yeah.
Thousands have gathered here on a cool, crisp night. Fall is definitely upon us, but fall is not a word we want to take lightly on this night. Asking ourselves, how much can the human body endure? Why risk going blind, permanent brain damage, or even death? The only man capable of answering these questions hangs 40 feet above our heads. This is David Blaine in the dive of death.
David Blaine! David Blaine! Die, die, die!
He gives us all something to believe in and wonder about. I think that he's a real magician.
You're stupid! David Blaine is a douche!
Are you concerned at all, though, about the finale when you actually have to make a dive of death?
I hope it works out.
I hope you die, David Blaine!
I went to do magic for Eli Manning.
Eli Manning, it's Rita Strong!
My mother, she made me believe that whatever I said made sense and is doable.
Your mom was a dumb whore! David Blaine, you're a douche, 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 douche!
What is the concern for someone who's been hanging upside down that long? What's the time limit it's going to take for him to reorient himself?
Normally this would take 12 to 24 hours, but even of more concern that he has not used his legs to support himself, so these are going to be very wobbly.
You suck, David Blaine! Hope you die!
Do you expect him to be able to pull off this dive of death?
I hope so.
David Blaine, you're a douche! Hope you die!
We all hope so. Thousands of us here hope so.
Hope you die! Hope you die!
And as we say, it's the dive of death.
David Blaine, you better die!
Now, David wants me to tell the folks that are home watching on TV, if you have children sitting up watching right now, now might be the time to send them to bed.
David Blaine, what a douche! What a douche!
A man who is hung upside down for 60 hours. But all that means nothing if something goes wrong here. There's a reason it is called the dive of death.
David Blaine! David Blaine! Die, die, die!
David Blaine had no way to prepare for this.
Liar!
Only he knows, as he falls, exactly what is going to happen. I have no idea. None of you have any idea. Nobody at home has any idea.
What a douche nozzle!
Die!
David Blaine!
The crowd yelling out encouragement. And it's time. Absolutely incredible.
Hope you die tonight, you douche. Yeah.
All right.
What happened?
Those were some highlights.
Okay.
End of the show, completely unrelated to hanging upside down. Completely unrelated. They take him off of the, you know, whatever, the ropes and pulleys. They put him upright. They give him 30 minutes to get himself together. He stands 40 feet high on some kind of a girder, right? And he's supposed to do the dive of death. Now, there's two things that have been advertised. The dive
and death.
Okay. So he's standing on the thing. They say, okay, now it's time. Everybody looks up. And there was no audio for this, so I couldn't bring it in. But here's what happens.
A huge surprise is David.
No, hold on. Don't play that yet. So here's what happens. He has a rope that is around his body. It's clearly, they don't try to hide it. It's not, you know, colored black, so it's a trick. He's literally hanging from a rope. He steps off of the girder. He doesn't dive. He steps feet first. The rope lowers him to the ground slowly. When he gets to the ground, he just stands on it. Then they turn off all the lights, and he's gone. So then they say this.
A huge surprise as David Blaine plummets 44 feet, coming up just short of the platform, only
to disappear into the skies mysteriously. How in the world did he escape into the atmosphere?
Roll the credits.
Wait, hold on a second.
I'm not kidding.
I'm having trouble visualizing
there
this.
There was no dive.
They lowered him from the from whatever he was standing, whatever he was hanging on. They lowered him to the ground with a rope.
Feet first.
Which, by the way,
not a dive.
A three-month-old. You could do that with a three-month-old yes. baby, and it yes. would be safe, okay? And then he's standing on the ground and just disappears?
They turn off the lights in the park so no one can see?
Or do they pull him up with the rope, maybe?
I'm sure they did. I don't care. What I know is there was no dive, and there was no death. So I want my money back. F him. There was no dive of death. Dive of death was the name of it. They showed a poster, dive of death. They kept right. talking about death. Doctors, oh, he could die. Brain damage. Oh, this is, could be the worst thing ever. What if he doesn't make it? He was lowered slowly to the ground. And then gone.
It seems like false advertising. It doesn't seem like there's any diving or any death.
There was
going
no
on.
Diving and no death. He was just all of a sudden not there, having ropes tied to him, so you can figure out exactly how he got away. And
so they just pulled him away
yep.
off into the night, and
then they turned the lights back on, and everybody said, oh, "He's gone." And then they started rolling the credits. I swear to God, it was the single worst payoff in the history of television promising.
It does seem like a disappointment after 2 hours of waiting to see the dive of death.
It's called the dive of death!
It is.
There wasn't even a dive, let alone death.
All right, hold on. We got someone on the phone who apparently knows David Blaine and apparently was on the special last night. Hello, Kevin and Bean, it's K-Rock. Who's this?
Hi! Hi, I'm Eli!
He did. Oh. He actually went to East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Yeah.
David Blaine did, and he did tricks for Eli Manning.
He's magic!
And the other guys on the Giants team.
I don't know how he does the magic.
Right? Did you enjoy it?
Oh! He's magic!
But seriously,
he's got powers. Make cards do things.
Right, but how hard is it to confound Eli Manning? I mean, really?
He did a trick where it was a thread,
uh-huh.
and then it came out of him.
The thread came out of him?
He ate a thread and it came out of him.
He like pull it through his hand or something? I didn't
his
see that part.
His stomach,
okay.
Ah!
No, Eli, you know, he didn't really do that.
He's a superhero.
Nope, he's a magician.
He's
it's an illusion.
He's magic and he did the dive of death.
He didn't dive. There was no death.
I think he died.
He didn't even
he's
come close.
He's in heaven.
There's no way he came close to
he
dying.
He went to heaven.
I wish.
He died and went to heaven. That's why no one could see him.
No. I'm sorry that didn't happen.
He's magic.
Yeah.
I did the same thing once when I was 8. Peyton hung me upside down for 60 days.
What?
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, now I do this.
David Blaine took... David Blaine took 10 to 15 minutes each hour, by the way, to stand up.
Yeah, I wish I had that.
Which they didn't mention in the special?
I didn't have any
You didn't have... Were you of the same condition before that?
Yeah, I had an IQ of 180.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you hung upside down.
Now I like pudding. I won a Super Bowl.
You did win a Super Bowl, yes.
Yes.
That's correct.
But that doesn't make your friend David Blaine any less of a liar and a tool.
He's the magic.
No.
It's a bye week.
It is a bye week for you.
Yeah, now I have to have sex with dudes.
What?
What?
Not that kind of bye.
What?
No, a bye week. Oh, it means you don't have to play.
Oh, thank God.
Dive of death. No dive, no death.
Look, is...
not even close to a dive.
He is a true artist, okay?
Yeah.
He's an endurance artist.
Yep, sure.
So just because you don't get it, man.
Listen, I just
mean it's not great.
Here's what I'm saying. Don't call it a dive of death.
Dude, he can hang upside down for 45 minutes.
They didn't mention that either, by the way.
And then grab a snack and take a nap and then get back up and hang again upside down.
They didn't mention once during the two-hour special that he got 10 to 15 minutes off an hour.
They didn't bring up the breaks?
Not a bit.
Hmm.
No.
ABC, shame on you. You need to stop giving this guy specials. That's all there is to it.
Yes. Here's the other thing. All of his little on-the-street magic is really amazing.
I don't know why they don't just do like a weekly show of that.
Because there's not enough big money in it.
Oh, there's not any money in that last stunt. That was so bad. I was screaming. I hate David Blaine. He made Chris Angel look like Harry Houdini.
Wow.
David Blaine.
Wow. First of all, Kevin using reference that's not from the past 20 years.
I know.
I was shocked that Kevin knew who Harry Houdini was. That was amazing.
And there was a lot of, those are some fighting words.
There was a lot on the special last night about Houdini.
You just heard that, so you're repeating it?
Sure.
There's some Houdini guy. I should use that.
56 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's next wife, Erica Durant, in the other room. She'll be joining us after the news.
I believe Ms. Durant is already married.
Yeah, but it's not going to last forever. Come on, let's face it.
I believe I am, too.
Never stopped you before.
It's not
either
last
one.
Forever. Come on, face it. Anyway, she'll be joining us after the news. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Thursday. What's going on?
She sure is charming, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. Can I have my paparazzi sound effect? Can we make that work?
I think I have things pushed here.
How about this machine, Psycho Mike? Does something need to happen here?
Huh. Odd.
Yeah. How about this now?
No.
There we go.
Can't move on without that.
Well, power fails around here and the whole world goes to pieces, I'll tell you. Here's good news. Natalie Portman's single again.
That's what I'm talking about.
Her and her Sasquatch friend, Devendra Banhart, have split up, apparently. You ever seen this dude, this musician she was dating?
No.
Yeti. It is the wrongest couple ever.
He's a Yeti.
He is a hairy folk singer that she met, apparently started dating him in March, but word from her representatives say Natalie and Devendra will remain friends, but need some space and time away.
Sure. Yeah.
And Natalie got tired of waking up next to Bigfoot. So, that's good news for us, right? We got a shot now, right?
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
All of us have a shot.
Tyler Durden does an expose on what's happening on the very popular E! Entertainment Network TV show, The Girls Next Door, about Hefner and his girlfriends.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, he confirms that Kendra is definitely, absolutely engaged to Philadelphia Eagle wide receiver Hank Basket. Good for you, Hank.
No kidding.
And it
I'm
looks
just happy
like
to see the Eagle, you know, one of the Eagles win anything.
I mean, oh Bean, right. Oh, that's rich.
I'm just saying.
How are the Seahawks doing? How are they hanging in there? How's that going up there?
Forget them. What about the Mariners?
It's not where you want to be. But
no, how are your Seahawks? They're pretty.
They're 1-2.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They got a bye week, too, so they're going to be sleeping with men just like Eli.
Apparently, this will be the sixth and last season for the current Girls Next Door. Hef has made the decision to end the show and his relationship with Kendra and Bridget. He's just going to keep Holly. And then season six will focus on finding replacements for Kendra and Holly.
Wow.
Two, maybe three new girls to have around the mansion.
All right, then.
Going to add a little spice to the TV show.
I sure wish that show were on HBO instead of E.
Oh, it works fine for me on E.
Okay.
I'm loving it. Da-da-da-da-da. Warren Sapp apparently is the diva du jour over there on Dancing with the Stars. TMZ reporting that he is causing some major havoc backstage by talking down to everyone, yelling at people, and being prone to temper tantrums. Word is, it's not uncommon for him to walk out of rehearsals with his dancing partner, Kim Johnson. So, Warren throwing some toot around.
At least he didn't get poked in the eye.
That's true.
You know?
He avoided that. Heard you guys talking to the Jew pirate earlier today, Jeffrey Ross. He stumbled around the stage there.
He got thrown off after the first commercial break. Yeah.
Ted McGinley also gone, by the way. So Ted doesn't get a chance to bring another show to its knees.
Oh.
Like he did with Married with Children and Happy Days in Love Boat. Apparently they will escape the Ted McGinley curse. So that's
I'm sure things. That the ratings, though, will start declining immediately on Dancing with the Stars now that he's appeared.
I'm sure they will. And maybe third time's the charm for Pat O'Brien. Former anchor of The Insider has checked into rehab once again, just a week after he was let go from the syndicated infotainment show, after sending inappropriate emails to his colleagues about how Lara Spencer made him want to vomit.
Well, come on.
This is Pat's second time sobering up this year and tried to clean up his act back in 2005 as well. So who knows? Maybe this time it'll stick. Or maybe he'll be making some phone calls.
Yeah. Just look at me.
Just say yes if you want to get some blow and get a three-way going. Say yes.
I want to hear a phone call. I got an instant request. Character request. I want to hear a phone conversation between Alec Baldwin and Pat O'Brien.
Oh, yes.
You are a thoughtless little pig.
You want to get some blow and get a three-way. Just say yes. Just look at me.
look at me and say yes.
I hate you.
Famous phone message leavers.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Barbara Walters. You know her from The View and from ABC News and from 2020. She is 79 years old today. And Michael Douglas turns 64. His wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones, turns 39. Mark Hamill, legendary Luke Skywalker, turns 57. Heather Locklear is 47 years old today. And actor, singer, famous Philadelphian Will Smith turns 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Are we dancers?
Are we dancers or are we human? Which is it?
Why can't we be both?
That's what
I'm
saying.
This is America, goddammit.
I'm human and a dancer.
That's right.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. It is Thursday. That means tonight at 8 o'clock over there on the CW is a little show called Smallville, ladies and gentlemen. I got to tell you, now that I've met Erica Durance here in the studio, I may have to start turning my back on My Name is Earl. I got to make some new choices Thursday night at 8, apparently.
Whatever with My Name is Earl. I'm watching My Name is Lois.
That's what I'm talking about.
She came in a second ago, Erica did, and told us that she's able to watch on the computer. What am I listening to?
What am I hearing?
I have no idea. That she could see in the other room what we were looking at on our computers in here.
Yeah, that's never a good idea for our guests to see what we look at on our computers.
Which
here.
Were all like bikini pictures of Erica, and she was watching everything we were watching. That's not good. And then
our screensaver is currently Lois Lane in the Star Spangled Stripper outfit.
It is.
I think that's our screensaver.
But then she
mistaken.
Came in and sure said, is. "I can understand that. I get it. How about that?"
That's our kind of gal.
No kidding.
How you doing, Erica?
I'm good.
Yes, you are.
Congratulations on the show. The Thank season you. Opener, by the way, if anyone missed it. I've never missed it. I'm a huge Smallville fan, as you guys know. Season opener, we get Lois Lane in a French maid costume.
Oh,
which
yes,
we
do.
Which I think
yes,
this is why Smallville is the best damn show on television.
That's why I get up and go to work every day. What am I wearing today?
Because Lois Lane can have a gun and be a kick-ass broad. And then in the next scene, she's wearing a French maid costume.
Yeah.
That's the best
that's right.
thing.
Do you think the writers
greatest
just.
Greatest Lois Lane ever.
You think the writers have just like a wall of little pieces of paper with French maid, stripper, everything, and they just throw a dart and go, yeah.
I said the other day they need to send out a blanket kind of survey with all the different costumes. I'm sure they do that. And then they put it up there and then they
sure.
go, okay.
Yeah. This
Lois
week
is
it's.
The only one that's absurd enough to do all these different things. So let's put her in it.
See, we had the bikini in the Aquaman episode. We had her stripper French maid. What can we have her now? How about she's a nude paleontologist? She has to be, she's an archaeologist in a nudist colony.
And what can we do all of a sudden, next? Lois disappears for a long time.
This
now,
season
the
is great.
The pretext. Excuse me, Ralph.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, B.
The pretext of putting Lois in these ridiculous outfits is that she is a reporter, and they send her undercover or they send her to find out information, stuff like that. I mean, that's what, now we got more problems. What's going on now?
We're having a hard time with the headset.
Having a hard time with everything at K-Rock today, aren't we?
See,
a hard time
hearing B. He just thought I was being mean and ignoring you, but I just couldn't hear
Oh, you couldn't hear
him.
Oh, I see, yeah.
I was in my own little world.
Here's what happens.
Can you hear us now?
Yes, I can.
About an hour ago, all the electricity went off, and we have to reset everything as we go, so we're sorry about that. Bean was saying something really funny, though, so just laugh.
Well, no, I was just saying, for folks who haven't watched the show, Lois Lane is a reporter. So the reason they are able to get her in these outfits and at least pretend that it makes sense in the context of the show is that you're undercover digging for stories.
Exactly, and I can't use that excuse when I'm going to talk to the producers because they go, well...
Sure, of course.
I think she would.
Yeah. If there's
and
information...
I have a sense of humor. I'm like, you know what, she would.
If there's information in a strip club, what are you going to do?
Be a stripper.
You know? Does it bug you at all when they put you in those outfits and costumes? I mean, we know why they do it, because there's a bunch of fanboys out there who read comic books who are desperately in love with you, and that's what they want to see.
Some of them are named Ralph Garman.
Hey, how dare you, sir?
You know what, they come to me with the ideas, and then I look at it, and if it does, if it makes sense, if there's a bit of comedy to it. Originally, when they showed me that stripper one, there was supposed to be a comedy where she, really gets into it, and she thinks she's awesome, and then she bails. Which I did on the day, and then they cut it out and just looked like Lois Moonlights as a stripper.
Can they never got to the comedy part of that, did we?
Can they send us that part? Do they have outtakes or anything like that?
I have to call them.
What if they asked you that you said, no, that's ridiculous? Anything? I mean, have you said, come on.
The nude paleontologist.
That one you said no to. Good for you.
No nudity. Yeah. This is primetime TV.
This season is interesting to me because we're finally starting to see the chemistry between Clark and Lois.
Yes.
That we've all been waiting for. Because
interesting
it's been,
for me, too.
It's been weird on the show because if you're a fan of the Superman mythos like I am, Lana Lang, Clark Kent, love relationship, romantic thing was when Clark Kent was a teenager. I mean,
right.
That's where that comes from.
Right.
Once Erica joined the cast as Lois Lane, you know how that story ends. Clark and Lois get together. So we've all been waiting for that to start to happen. I think this year we're finally going to see it because Clark has taken his job at the Daily Planet. They're going to be working together. So now I'm expecting at some point two of you
a little bit of action
on top of the Xerox machine
me
at work
too.
Or something.
I'm like,
you know?
Well, okay, now, guys, I paid my dues. I'm going to my fifth year here.
Yeah, exactly. When does it happen? How many episodes have you already shot?
We're in episode 8 now.
8. So. Has it happened by 8?
No, but, you know, there's been a lot of that fun banter back and forth, and she's actually starting to...
Flirting.
Really flirting, and she has a lot of fun. There's an episode where she goes undercover and decides that they should be a couple, so she has a lot of fun with that.
Oh, spectacular. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm no Mo. But that Tom Welling, he's a good-looking fella.
Nothing wrong with him.
Boy,
I agree.
Is he good-looking.
Nothing wrong with him.
He is good-looking.
That's a nice gig. It's got to be to show up and flirt with him all day. And him for you, I'm sure, as well.
He's ridiculously good-looking, though. He shows up, and we're all in the makeup trailer. All us girls are getting our hour of makeup. He shows up, looks pretty, and waltzes onto set.
Yeah, I hate that guy for that
But you know what? He's a manly man. He's not really aware of it, which is helpful because there's a lot of guys in this business that spend more time looking at the compact.
He seems like
kind
of a down-to-earth guy.
He's
not a Seacrest frosted tips kind of guy. I know what you're talking about.
He doesn't carry eyebrow wax with him wherever he goes.
For an emergency.
Yeah.
Here's the question I have for you, Erica, and I am one of those people who was on board with Smallville at the very beginning, feel very deeply in love with the show. I mean, it is a great show, and I don't want anybody to ever think they're not going to watch it because it's superheroes, because it's a great show with great action and great characters and great special effects and great everything. I do love it. But I confess that I kind of fell off of it somewhere in the middle.
In season 4 when I came in? Boom!
Boy, am I back on now. I'll tell you that. Boy, am I back on. Last week's season premiere was fantastic. But here's the thing. I know that when the show started, we were always told from the very beginning that this was going to be a different kind of Superman. And we were almost promised, am I right, Ralph, that he was never – it was no flights, no tights.
That's what they said, the motto.
But now that the show's been on for, what, 7 years? Something like that? 8 years?
Yeah,
something like
eighth,
that.
Right?
Yeah. Now that it's been on for so long, I mean, they're getting closer and closer to the point of no return where they're going to get to that point where they've got nowhere else to go until he becomes the full-fledged Superman, it seems like. I mean, what a teasing act it is, really.
It is teasing, and I keep waiting for him to come out of his trailer in his blue tights.
Yeah.
Because I think it's only fair. The girls, you know, stripper, French maid.
You've done your part.
I'm like, Tom, get the tights on. Get on set.
His Justice League fans last week even made a reference to you're this close to being a guy with an alter ego and a costume and everything like that. We all know that's what's coming, but wow, what an interesting balancing act to see all the pieces line up, like becoming a reporter at the Daily Planet now and knowing where it's headed, but knowing that we're never going to get there. It's just a weird show.
If you won't get there or not. I mean, I wonder if maybe towards the end, do they have an idea when the series will be over? Have they planned an end?
They haven't given
it?
Us any specifics yet. I know that, you know, this year is tentatively, you know, they're looking at possibly it being the last year, but I know that they never say never.
Right. Well, since the storyline is before, you know, he's Superman, I mean, you only have so much time. At some point, he's got to be in the time.
At some point, he's 35 years old.
He's doing everything and he's got the job.
There's got to come a point.
Especially with Lois and Jimmy being added to the cast in the past couple years and stuff. I mean, all the pieces are in place. At some point, he's got to fly. Supergirl's flying around, for God's sakes, but he's not flying. What's he, so late bloomer?
Well, I think I'm hearing that we might see a little bit of flying stuff happen probably.
Really?
Maybe.
You're hearing that, are you?
I'm hearing it.
Hmm.
Before you took the job, Erica, were you a comic book science fiction fan or anything like that at all? Or was this your first introduction to this world?
No, it wasn't my first introduction to this world. Like, my brother kind of ruled the roost. He's the oldest kid in the family. So I watched lots of sci-fi, lots of Red Sonja and Conan the Barbarian, and lots of comics and stuff like that. But I like the Lois character the best of all the women that were playing opposite these heroes because she was kind of her own gal, and she just kind of did her thing, and she didn't see herself as this victim, so I was excited to be able to do that.
Is it hard to find roles like that? Are there a lot of women roles that are that strong and independent? And
I think it's starting to get that way a little bit more, and you're seeing, like, even just on, you know, on television and in the films, but on television there's a lot more actual roles where the women are the leads of the series, and they actually have a brain, and it's not just categorized into two different, you know. You're the dirty girl and you're the sweet girl, and that's
like
all
Fringe, for example, is a new show that has a lead that's a female.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams has done that. He gave us Alias and Fringe strong female leads. But I was thinking as I watched the show, it must be fun as an actress to play because you do get to do the comedy and the romance and the action and all that stuff kind of rolled into one, and the bikinis and French maid outfits.
Well, that's what I like about it too, and I have a little bit of ADD, so it's a perfect role. So depending on, you know, which day I'm coming in, I'm doing something totally different, and I like that because I think that a lot of women are like that. There's not just the one side of them. There's the crazy side that's hidden, and most men find out after they get married.
Yes,
yes. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad.
Or they find out before they get married, and then it goes away after you get married, which is even worse.
That's... Hey, well, what
or
happened
maybe,
to that?
Yeah.
Hey, I was dating Lois. Now I got Lana Lang.
All right, we need to take a break. Erica, you know that you're here and you've been kidnapped. I hope you understand that you're not ever leaving this room, right?
Yeah.
You're now a permanent full-time member of the Kevin Abid Show. Okay, yeah. So
she's good with
that. Pull up a chair and get comfortable because we'll take a break and come back with more with our guest, Erica Durant, Smallville, tonight at 8 o'clock on the CW. We'll return after this on Kevin.
On the WB, I think.
On the CW.
CW.
Is it? Oh, I
apologize. WB is no more.
Okay, great. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Whoa.
What are the letters again?
Whoa.
Stroke.
One more time?
Stroke.
Did I just have a stroke?
How many R's in K-R-O-Q?
K-R-O-Q.
That's much better.
Your phone calls are next at 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. We'll take your calls in a couple minutes.
Erica, I was wondering. I'm sorry.
Give up on impressing Erica, by the way. Our guest in the studio from Smallville.
When I
nice
looked
job,
over
Kevin.
And she had her head on the desk laughing, I thought.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I'm out.
She doesn't know where. It was dark today. You guys
it
had
was,
a whole power
Thank you.
Outage.
And a power outage. I have power outages daily. So that happens in my head. All right.
When they were talking about the Superman movies, was there any talk about you and Tom taking those roles and
reprising
roles?
I talked about it a lot.
Did you talk about
it? How about the powers that
we
be making the films? Did that ever come up at all?
It was. I think that there's a possibility that there might have been some talk with Tom. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But
he would have done it without you.
I was left blowing in the wind.
You guys would have been ideal.
No,
I think you would have been much better than the two actors they ended up casting.
You know what
film.
I think would have been really cool is if they had done what, you know, because everybody's been watching him grow up. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, then he
Make
is
Make that
Superman.
His coming out party
yes.
and do a feature film.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
And then you have the people that just like Superman, they'd go to see it. And then all the people that have been watching him, you know,
they get their payoff.
And plus, I'd be in a feature
plus
film.
Plus, you'd be in a feature film.
Yes, exactly.
My plan would
You
work.
Should be in every feature film, I think. We should put you in every movie that is out there.
Every single one?
Yes. I'd like to see
everything.
Her in every film that I go to. I'd like to see Erica Durant, if that's possible.
You're the mayor of Hollywood, aren't you?
Yeah, I
Thank
think
you.
Yeah, the mayor of show business. I'm the president of show business.
Now you go get that
I'm
going to
make
time.
That happen. In fact, we don't need Superman. We just need a Lois Lane feature film. That's what we need.
Just focus
just
on her?
2 hours of Lois following
and
stories.
And costumes, yeah.
In various undercover guises that involve semi-nudity.
It doesn't even have to have a storyline.
It really doesn't.
No, we know that nowadays.
It could be a slideshow.
Nothing has to have
it could
a
just
line.
Be a slideshow of you in various states of undress. That's what I think we need to watch.
Erica, as long as
tell
I get
us,
my theatrical release.
That's right.
Tell us about a young, beautiful Canadian girl growing up and dreaming of becoming an actress. How did it all happen for you?
A little bit of luck and a lot of work. I grew up on a turkey farm in Alberta.
Sure.
Turkey farm.
Didn't we all?
I'm not lying. You know, the normal story.
You said you grew up on a turkey farm.
Yeah. I was a turkey farmer.
Wow.
And I just got into, like, you know, the normal, like, I like acting in
Did
high
you do
school,
it in high school and, stuff?
And all that kind of stuff.
Did
and
you do plays and stuff in high school?
Yeah. And then I went out to Vancouver and I tried my luck at it and started with all the background. You know, I was the extras. I was one of those extras.
Sure. Really? Good for you.
And then I just started auditioning and then I fell into Smallville.
Do you miss the turkeys?
No, I'm
Not
afraid
at all.
Of them.
You're afraid
I hate
of
turkeys.
Them? Why are you
I'm
afraid of them?
They're so noisy, too.
Could they attack
them,
you?
Dead.
She's happy.
How can you grow up around turkeys and be afraid of them?
Because when I was little, like, I had to go into the barns and you had to transport, like, thousands of turkeys from one barn to the next.
Right.
And
you had to do that?
Yeah.
Who was your dad?
Well, he was in there, too. It was a family affair.
You're
so
a turkey wrangler?
Me and my siblings, they would put orange garbage bags over us, give us flags, and we'd just run at them and scream.
They were just,
they were
effing with you.
They were.
It's not even a real job. Your father was just screwing with
He's
you.
He's like, ah, oh, let's see.
Honey, let's put
do.
The kids in orange trash bags and make them hold flags. That'll be so funny. Then he would call his friends and go, you'll never believe what I got him to do today.
And, you know, I got the paranoia from the fact that when you're doing that, you know, and they're just about as tall as you are, and, you know, your little girl, you wipe out, they all, like, attack you.
Jeez. Really?
A lot Dude. Of therapy.
Wow. I have a neighbor here on the island who has 55 turkeys, and they are very noisy and very messy. And
very stupid.
It's so stupid. They will stand in the road forever. I mean, they will never occur to them to move away from an automobile.
They
just
won't.
Stand
just
there
stand
and make
there
you go
and
around them.
Do that unblinking stare until the tractor runs them over.
That's awesome.
Which is the right thing to do, by the way. You don't go around
then
them.
You get to eat them.
Yeah.
Do you eat turkey? Are you a vegetarian because of this or something?
I'm not a vegetarian because of that, but I don't eat much turkey at
really?
Thanksgiving and stuff like that.
Because it scares you.
You're over it.
You're afraid it'll attack you from the inside.
It will. You never know.
Alien.
Just like alien.
I'm bursting
out of
it.
Oh my God, even that sound freaks me out.
You should hear when we call the Butterball Turkey Hotline.
Don't even start.
We have a hilarious comedy bit involving a turkey.
Sure.
See, every time you guys do that, you'll remember the girl who's afraid of turkeys.
We'll think of you.
Afraid of turkeys? That's an odd one. I like
when
that.
When you moved to Vancouver to break into acting, I guess that's where you go because there's so much film and television production in Vancouver. That's kind of the capital of Canada for movies and TV,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was really big when I went there. And because, you know, I'm from a town about 3,500, I just wanted to be a little bit, let's try it small and see what happens if I like it. And let's not go down to LA and get lost and...
Was there a time where you thought maybe you wouldn't make it, where you went long enough between jobs or something where you almost gave up and had to come up with a plan B, or were you committed to it and stuck with it and always knew it was going to work?
Well, I was always committed to it. I had my moments, though, where, you know, ironically enough, I didn't want to go on an audition for Lois Lane because I was having a temper tantrum. And
really?
I had missed out on something and I went, I'm not going in. And my manager said, yes, you are. Okay, fine. And I went
in. That's funny.
And then he called and said, okay, Warner Brothers is bringing you down, and they've always been really good to me. So
wow. Yeah. So you didn't want to do it because you were mad about something else.
And then I thought, that's the key. So you can't care when you go in.
Yeah, that's what they say. And the less you care, the more relaxed you are and the better you do, right? That's what they say.
That's how we run this job.
That's right.
That's right.
We don't care.
Look at us. How successful we've been.
Look where you are.
Attitude.
We're almost out of time.
No,
Smallville
no,
airs
we're not.
Thursday nights at 8 on the CW. What
we're
can
not
you
out
tell
of
us,
time. We're going until noon.
If anything, about upcoming Smallville stuff this season.
Lots of action. Lots of edgy stuff.
Well, Lex Luthor's gone. That's a problem.
It is. But, you know, people just need to hang in there, and I think they'll fall in love with the actor that's come into play.
The new baddie.
Jess Mercer. And you got Doomsday coming in, which is the one character that could kill Clark Kent.
That's right. Yeah.
And then there's lots of fun with Lois and Clark, and she bugs him a lot, and there's all the angst.
You kind of have to know all about this goofy comic book world now, don't you? Do you go to the comic book conventions and stuff and meet the fans and deal with all that craziness?
You know what? The best thing to do with those fans, because they're very rabid about it, is just be honest. You can't pretend you know something and then offend them by not knowing all the colors.
But do you go to those things? Because
I don't know.
Those people's head would explode, I think.
I've gone a few times.
Have you really?
Oh, you must be swarmed upon.
And it's getting a little bit crazier than it was at the beginning, for sure. But
yeah.
What freaks me out is, like, I'll go there, and then the women look at me and go, dead serious, like, so where's Tom Welling? I thought you guys would go to this together.
Really?
And I said, you know, I asked him, but he wouldn't come.
He's afraid of you, lady.
I tried, girls.
Just not buying it. Well, it sounds scary to go to those things, but I'm glad you've had a good experience so far.
It's been fine.
You might want to call it off.
But I'm kind of steering clear.
Yeah, you should
like,
probably.
He has to say that.
Smallville is on tonight at 8 on the CW and every Thursday. And Erica Durance, of course, plays Lois Lane. And we loved having you in. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Hardly seems worth going on now that Erica's gone, by the way.
Life doesn't seem worth going on with.
Show's lost a little bit of luster since she walked out of
her
lives.
Come on, with her. Here's the thing about it. They grow them different in Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every hot Canadian I've ever met is just a down-to-earth chick, no pretense, no BS, just nice people.
She had everything, if that's what you're saying.
Well, there's that. Yeah. Sure. If you like that kind of thing.
If you like
beautiful women who've got everything.
Who don't know they're that hot.
Okay. With sense of humor and just that.
Although off the air, she was harshly mocking me.
Well, that's why I love her even more. Are you kidding me?
Sure. And I told her to shut up.
Yeah, I know.
So it didn't go that well.
If you're still listening, and I don't know why you would be, since Erica Durance is gone, you can call 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin Abeen's What to Do Nephew. We'll give you a pair of tickets to the Off-Road Expo at the Fairplex in Pomona, October 3rd through 5th, along with passes to go see Sam Rockwell's new film called Choke.
All right, let's begin with Kyle, who is calling us about a very familiar topic. Good morning, Kyle.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Very good, thank you.
It's just a correction. I know some listeners have been calling in about either like what football teams do with the back of those in their locker rooms and stuff like that. But
let me set this up, if you don't mind. Kyle is talking about white pants.
Oh, I was wondering, talking about homosexuality in football.
All right, go ahead, Kyle.
Sorry about that. But I was looking up at Urban Dictionary. I remember hearing it on your guys' show about how it's only worn by women.
Oh, it says women specifically.
Yeah, specifically, so we don't have to worry about what the men do or imposing it on on babies or other people. Only women.
Babies.
Only women.
It is gender specific. Okay, good to know.
Interesting. Nice work, Kyle. Thank you. What about the thumb ring? Have you done any research on that? Is it the same thing?
I have not heard anything about that. I only looked it up on Urban Dictionary.
All right.
All right.
I can do research if you want me to.
Please do.
Get
back in the lab.
Does the thumb ring mean the exact same thing as white pants, or does it involve another act that you love to do that involves your mouth? Look that up.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Eat ice cream?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Speaking of ice cream, funny you should mention that, Ralph, because Travis from Los Alamitos is calling about a very disturbing story in the news this week.
Hey, Travis, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. What'd it do?
People at PETA are crazy.
What happened now?
They're asking Ben and Jerry's to replace the milk they use in their ice cream from cow milk to human breast milk.
Oh, come on. I don't know about that. I'd like to work on that farm, though.
No kidding.
Where they get it from.
Wow.
Yeah, they are.
Are they really?
This is what PETA does. Is they look for stupid things they can do that get them on the news so that people go, PETA, what's that about? And then maybe they'll get some of the good information from them that's not the stupid stuff.
I think they do a poor service to a great cause. That's what I think. I think they ruin it for a lot of people.
New Ben & Jerry flavor, Booby Blueberry?
Sure. Hey, a lot of people would be into that. A lot of people would buy that ice cream, I bet you.
Oreo Areola?
Let's talk to Randy in Torrance on line 6. He was calling about really the worst 2 hours of TV in a long time. David Blaine's Dive of Death last night. Hi, Randy. What'd it do?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Sure. Hey, last night when he was doing the card tricks for Orlando Bloom,
yeah.
If you watch it, he's sucking in his stomach, and at the time he lets it out, he looks pregnant.
He is
I've played it over and over.
He is kind of fat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He was huge.
Maybe that's his next trick.
Pregnancy?
The womb of death. And he's got a baby inside of him.
Randy, did you watch the whole show last night?
I tried to take one for the team, but I couldn't.
You didn't see the end?
I know. I T-voted it. I had to wait.
You would have killed yourself if you saw the end.
Kevin, I was with you. I was going to do it because I heard you were going to do it, but I had to back out, dude. I'm sorry.
I got to tell you, though, the little stuff that he does on the street is really impressive.
Yes.
The big thing, stupid as hell.
Yep.
Yeah. Although he did also get punched in the stomach by Kimbo Slice twice. And I mean full force punch.
He needs another one.
That was impressive.
Well, maybe he's not fat. He's just swollen.
Yeah.
His good point,
guts
Ralph.
Bruised. He needs to take one in the head as far as I'm concerned. I've had it with that guy.
Excellent.
I know that Kevin is an expert at describing things that I can't see, but I'm still having trouble visualizing how that special ended last night.
Yeah, because
being lowered down from a rope and then disappearing.
You can see it on YouTube.
I will. I'll do it after the show.
You can check that out.
And I'm going to tell you something else. You'll watch it, and you still won't understand it, and you won't believe that's what they did. You'll go, what?
It ends up basically dangling, swinging back and forth on a rope, basically. And then the lights go out, and then he's gone. That's how it ends, basically.
He doesn't dive. He's lowered slowly.
And he doesn't die.
No?
No.
No death. No dive, no death.
Why don't we close with Enrique and Arlita, who is calling on line 4 about something that Psycho Mike is very excited about.
Oh, what are you doing, nephews?
Hey, Enrique.
What'd it do?
What'd it do?
I just heard that there's a killer idea for a Broadway musical on American Psycho.
See? Killer idea.
We talked about this yesterday. They are bringing American Psycho to Broadway as a musical based on the film and book.
Oh.
That is an amazingly effed up movie, which is really good.
Yes, Christian Bale stars as Patrick Bateman, who ends up being a mass murderer as well as a Wall Street analyst.
A serial killer. And Psycho Mike, that's his favorite movie of all time. He's watched it hundreds of times. He's read the book hundreds of times.
Yes. But it's about narcissism and murdering women.
And death, yeah.
Two things that Mike cares about most.
Right. But not everything is improved on by becoming a Broadway musical, right? I mean, aren't there some things that are fine the way they are and don't need to be turned into a musical?
Yes.
I would certainly say this would be one of them. I'll tell you that.
I mean, that's not the case for The Fly. The Fly needed to be a musical,
sure.
And I still can't wait to see that. Yes. But American Psycho, I'm having trouble picturing that, to be honest.
I will hack you with this chainsaw. That's a big number.
Sounds good to me.
Very exciting.
I want to thank all of our special guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including our friend Jeffrey Ross, the Roastmaster General, the first guy eliminated from Dancing with the Stars this week. It was great to have him on. He's going to be joining us again in studio in a couple weeks before his new DVD that comes out mid-October. So we love Jeff. Thanks to Erica Durance for joining us today.
Come on with her.
Smallville is the show. It airs tonight and every Thursday at 8 o'clock on the CW, unless you're Kevin's house, in which case it's spelled the WB. Also, thanks to the band Atmosphere for stopping by. When life gives you lemons, you guys know what you're supposed to do with that, right?
Paint that gold?
That's right. That's exactly what you do. That's in stores and available for download now, and the Paint the Nation tour is at the Wiltern tonight. Good to meet up with Atmosphere today.
Shut up, Mike. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We got the Movie Beat because it's Friday. We have supermodel, American Gladiator, MMA fighter Gina Carano.
Come on with her.
Program tomorrow. We have the biggest genius in television history, Seth MacFarlane.
He is pretty much a genius.
Who will be on the program.
They will clean up all your talking in a manner such as this. They will make you take a tinkle when you want to take a piss.
And they'll make you call fellatio a trouser-friendly kiss.
They may just be neurotic or possibly psychotic. They're the fellas at the freaking FCC.
Always love having him on the program. Always love that. I'm sorry to tell you that tomorrow is the day that we're going to bring in the dude from the CSI, and he's got the black light.
Yeah!
Have you guys seen the news specials where they take the black light into the hotels?
Yes. They check the comforters for any sort of human fluids that are still remaining on them.
Yes. And we're going to have him come in, and we're going to turn off the lights in our studio. Oh,
that's a bad idea.
And we're going to have him blacklight it, and it's not going to go well.
It's a horrible
This
idea.
Place is gross.
He's a real CSI guy, so he'll have the skills and the testing equipment to be able to identify
I
the things
so.
That are going to show up, right? So he'll be able to tell us which fluid it is.
I think so, yes.
Don't you think that everything that can come out of a body, male or female, is somewhere in the studio at K-Rock?
Yes.
I think it's all going to be one color, but not – I mean, it's all going to be that color, whatever the – you know, whatever it turns white or whatever. I don't know. It's not going to be –
Kevin's lips and chin are going to be like neon.
Oh, how dare you. Yeah.
I don't get that.
He's saying you got a lot
I know.
Of, oh, I'm sorry.
And we're going to put you on a party plane to Las Vegas to see the Killers tomorrow as well, so – come back, won't you?
I wanted to come in with a sunglasses like David Caruso before he does anything and make some witty comment.
I like it.
Yeah. I think this murder is off the air.
Yeah!
You know, one of those openings from CSI Miami.
Are we ever going to work in the studio again after that?
Someone's been using this place with a lot of frequency.
Yeah!
I know that I'm going to feel good about my decision to move away after we find out what's in that studio. I'll tell you that.
This is a bad idea, start to finish.
Yeah. Cat Corbett is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, including that slightly stupid song. Also, we got some Green Day, Finger 11, Nirvana, Coldplay, and more straight ahead. And don't forget, as we leave you to say goodbye on yet another Kevin and Bean Show, ladies and gentlemen, that thoughts are...